government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome to this very important Friday edition, the 15th day of August 2008. We'll be live here for the next 3 hours and 59 minutes, 18 seconds. We are going to have wide open phones throughout the day. Professor Michelle Chosadowski, expert on what's happening with Poland, Georgia, Ukraine, Russia, will be joining us for 30 minutes coming up at the middle of this hour. Then Jonathan Elinoff, they're reporting that they're going to be putting people in a little makeshift FEMA camp as they did at the RNC in 2004 that we covered. He was able to successfully sneak in to the facility and get video of that. Jonathan Elinoff, We Are Change Colorado, now with something like 500 members, really exploding that one chapter. And then, of course, popping in with us multiple times weekly to track all the economic and geopolitical developments as well as Russia, Bob Chapman with us in the fourth hour today. So Michael Chosadowski, Jonathan Elinoff, and Bob Chapman all on the show, on the transmission for you today. Huge developments with the Russian escalation kicking off the old Cold War, but in a hotter, more dangerous, more accelerated way. Russia, Poland risk attacks because of U.S. missiles. Now, that is the Associated Press headline. A top Russian general said Friday that Poland's agreement to accept a U.S. missile interceptor base exposes the ex-communist nation to attack, possibly by nuclear weapons, the Interfax news agency reported. Also, top geopolitical author, U.S. risking nuclear war with Russia. Neocons up nuclear war ante with Poland missile shield. Excellent analysis from Kurt Nemo at Infowars.com. So Paul Watson's done a story. Top geopolitical author, U.S. risk nuclear war with Russia. That's at PrisonPlanet.com. And covering the same story, but from different perspective and angle. Neocons up nuclear war ante with Poland missile shield. Infowars.com, Kurt Nemo. Russia seizes arsenal of U.S. weapons in Georgia. Dow Jones News is reporting. Russia keeps up its blockade of strategic Georgian city. Obama fanatics slam author for questioning 9/11 truth. Well, the New York Times also slammed myself. Yours truly, this radio talk show host and investigative journalist, documentary filmmaker. So a huge attack there. We'll be going over that. Dr. Corsi, when I saw this last night, saw the story in the New York Times, another one today, bashing him for going on the vicious, evil Alex Jones show. I mean, I am blacklisted, folks. I mean, they have Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, just scores of publications on an almost daily basis now. Ron Paul goes on Alex Jones. Dr. Corsi goes on Alex Jones. I mean, you talk about being blackballed, the blacklist. Man, I am proud to be numero uno, the black sheep, the wicked devil, according to the corporate whore media. And Corsi's publicist calls us today and said, he's not coming on now. We had a scheduling problem. He'll just have to be on next week. Well, I said, Trey, that's complete bull. That's political. I said, you call. Corsi's always asking to come on. I can use another word, but we like having him. Begging to come on. Because he knows it's a big show. But he'll tell you, bigger response here than any other show he goes on. That means TV, Fox, Glenn Beck, any of it. Because we've got active listeners. Not just millions, but active listeners. But we talked to Corsi this morning. We're going to tell you that the behind-the-scenes intrigue going on here. But look, first I got to cover Russia and what's happening there. Okay, because this affects everybody. Frankly, I'm going to talk about myself in the New York Times a little bit later. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, we're going to break down what's happening with Russia right now. Then we're going to look more depth into that subject with Professor Michelle Chassidassi coming up in about 25 minutes. Russia, Poland risk attacks because of U.S. missile shield. Now, my detractors, whenever I read one of these AP articles, they go out and create YouTube videos and things saying that, and I don't want to talk about myself here, but we have to. This show is coming under so much attack now from the mainstream media, the New York Times, Fox News, CNN. We're coming under such incredible attack from operatives on the internet and their fellow travelers and well-meaning idiots that are sucked into it that I just have to, I guess, caveat mention here that I'm reading the Associated Press. What they do is they edit this together with me saying other incendiary things out of the news and then make it sound like I'm saying that Russia's nuked us or launched missiles at us. There's the famous case of ABC News, and it was December 31st, 1999, and I'm on Michael Trudeau's radio show back when he had a show on this station, one of the hosts here, as I was co-hosting throughout the day with continual coverage, now, and she runs in and says, ABC News is saying a missile's been fired from Russia. And I ran out, and there was ABC News and Peter Jennings saying, yes, NORAD is saying a missile has been fired from Russia out of Chechnya. We don't know if it's intercontinental ballistic or a theater missile, intermediate range, but NORAD is on the highest alert. And I come back on air and say, okay, this is what ABC News said. And then people knowing, the government knowing, their operatives knowing, and plus people that are just flat out jealous of me for some reason, knowing the public has no memory, knowing they have no grasp of that, months later said, look, Alex Jones claimed nukes were launched from Russia against the U.S. Now, 30 minutes after they announced that some missile's been fired, we don't know if it's a nuke, we don't know if it's conventional, we don't know what range missile it is, they came out with a weird press conference with Russians at NORAD, and the Pentagon, the SAC-based commanders, was there in Colorado Springs, came out and said, okay, it was a Scud missile launched in the Chechen War that got high enough up to look like an ICBM, no problem. And it turns out that was probably some type of weird drill or test of NORAD while the Russians were there. In fact, that leaked out in the media that that's probably what it was, to show the Russians, see, we can even see one of your Scuds being launched. And they were all laughing and joking and smiling during the press conference like it was some type of joke on the public. Something went on there. Doesn't matter. People misrepresent it. And I hate to even give them ideas. They're going to do it anyways. They've already done this last week. There are people saying I made up that there's even a war over there in Georgia. I mean, and you laugh at that. But remember, the general public doesn't know where Russia is. They don't know anything. And so the government and their operatives, they target people who don't know any better. They target people who have no grasp of reality. Now, I shouldn't have prefaced this. It doesn't matter. I just realized when I cover the Associated Press that it could be edited together later, and it probably will. It shocks me on YouTube. I mean, they'll edit me together saying, I hate America, death to America, when I was quoting neocons. And then they'll go say, I said that. And then people buy it. I mean, they revel in deception. They revel in it. But those that practice this deception, that's the reason the newspapers are down by over 60% circulation, why TV's imploding, why mainstream news admits that they're losing all credibility and most of their viewers, because the public may be dumbed down, a large segment of them, the majority. But even the dumbed down public doesn't trust you anymore. So you're spoiling your own dirty little nest, and it's just incredible. people then also say, well, you say the mainstream media lies. You say the mainstream media distorts. You say they spin. They abscond with the truth. Why do you then quote them so much? Well, there's different types of propaganda, different types of media. And we look at media from different angles. And so we can look at Russian, German, Dutch, Japanese, Iraqi, French. We can watch the raw video feeds, and then we get a clear picture of what indeed happened. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of research. It takes a lot of hard work. But we told you day one that Georgia attacked Ossetia. Now that the details are out, it turns out for weeks, the Georgian military was just randomly shelling civilians in Ossetia and had turned the water off. So it was already siege over there. And then Georgian peacekeepers with the UN force made up of Russians, Europeans, Western Europeans, and a contingent from around the world, and Georgians, the Georgians opened fire inside the bases. They ran a sneak attack. I mean, it's now admitted they came up behind their fellow peacekeepers in the same uniforms and stabbed them in the backs, not figuratively, literally. Grabbed the mouth in the kidney, rotated, slit the throat, choking them with tourniquets. That's now confirmed. When Russian peacekeepers would run out of their barracks once they were under bombardment, the Georgians were set up inside their own base. But the Georgian peacekeepers had already gotten together beforehand. This is the premeditatedness of it. And mowed them down as they were running out of their buildings. I mean, a total covert sneak attack. A coup d'etat against Ossetia. In violation of the 1992 Accords. And then U.S. Special Forces, trainers, Israelis, Ukrainians, backing up Georgians, went house to house in scores of towns and cities, murdering people en masse. And now the numbers are coming out. It's well above 2,000. Little towns, villages, standalone farmhouses. They go in, the video is all over the foreign European and Russian news, never on the U.S. news, and it just shows dead bodies. We have a Fox News clip where he's got these Americans on who happen to be over there visiting. And he says, so the Russians were attacking and killing you. And they go, no, the Georgians attacked us. Thank you, Russia, for saving us. They were coming door to door, killing us. We barely got out. If the Russians wouldn't have come in, they would have killed us. And they go, oh, we got to go to commercial. And they come back and say, that's what Russia wants you to think. Shepard Smith or whatever his name is, Hammerhead's name is. Guy's got the eyes on the side of his head. I'm sorry. It's so brutal. Poland risk attack because of U.S. missiles. A top Russian general said Friday that Poland's agreement to accept a U.S. missile interceptor base exposed the ex-communist nation to attack possibly by nuclear weapons, Interfax News Agency reported. And you can read what the top general said 2 days ago. We reported it here 2 days ago and yesterday. You can just go read the full Russian transcript or watch the video. Translated. It's up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. But he laid out, look, here's the NATO doctrine. He read from it. They say since 2000 they have a preemptive strike on Russia. They're encircling us with what they call a missile defense shield, but it's an anti-missile system so that if they begin nuking us or bombing us from the air or using cruise missiles and we try to strike back, this destroys the concept of MAD. And the Russian general said, we would like to go back to mutually assured destruction, whereof any one party sneak attacks the other, they will then be destroyed by reciprocal attacks. But now you're rolling anti-missile systems in right up to our borders so that you can sneak attack us, and if we try to counterstrike, you've got anti-missile missiles. Surface-to-air anti-missile missiles. And they said, please, we don't want this doctrine. We don't like it. You're encircling us. You're sneak attacking us. He looks totally grave. This isn't an act. I mean, they're being legitimate. You watch our generals. They're a bunch of primping, arrogant, lying scum on average. Nothing but lies comes out of their mouth. And I've been analyzing Russia, folks. They've been doing nothing but telling the truth. I have a responsibility to come here and tell you. I've been studying this 6-7 hours a day, 2-3 hours in the morning, 3-4 hours at night. I got a staff of few people looking all this up. Well, I mean, it is a fact. The Russians are being truthful. And the United States and NATO and Israel are lying about everything. It is incredible. I mean, the Georgian president went on TV Friday and said, we're under attack, a sneak attack by Russia for no reason, and our news all announced it. For 5 minutes when we first flipped the TV on during the show, you know, all the headlines said Russia attacks Georgia. I said, wow, Russia's gone into Georgia. I know U.S. forces were there. I know they were trying to take over an area, but man, this is incredible. And then 5 minutes later, we were able to get it right and go, wait a minute, all these articles admit at the bottom after a sneak attack by Georgia. But Mikhail Shashvili, he goes on TV and says, we're under attack, help us, oh, it's horrible. Oh my God, out of the blue, no reason, sneak attack. Meanwhile, he's still saying Russian forces are in the center of the country when they pulled back as they said they do. He's lying there. Nothing he says has any connection to reality. And I see a scared Russian general. And by scared, you know, he's a big old man. He's saying, look, you're encircling us with weapons. NATO's doctrine is a sneak nuke attack on us. And that is their doctrine since 2000. He said, stop it. Stop encircling us with nukes. What do you think caused the Cuban Missile Crisis when the U.S. moved nukes into Turkey? But our media was so controlled, no one was ever told that. Folks, I love my children. I don't want World War III. And they're now escalating in Poland, escalating in Ukraine, saying they may start fights on the Russian border. Ladies and gentlemen, this is war against Russia. We'll be right back. Headline, top geopolitical author, U.S. risks nuclear war with Russia. We're going to play that clip later. Russia says Poland risks nuclear attack because of U.S. missiles being moved in around them. Let's go to the Russian top foreign minister in a press conference yesterday. You'll hear it translated into English. And I'm just going to play about 4 minutes of this. He's totally truthful. Everything he says is the truth. We verified it independently. And even in the mainstream news, in the bottom of the articles, they admit all this, but they lie in the tops of the articles. Here it is.
President Saakashvili, go.
I'm sure Saakashvili can no longer be a responsible partner in talks because everything this man has been saying recently doesn't correspond to a single fact. As for the political assessments he makes based on lies he tells daily, they're absolutely disturbing. I'm sure he is a provocator. The man who traitorously gave orders to start the mass shelling of cities with multiple rocket launchers, to make artillery strikes and airstrikes on civilian areas of Tsikhanvali, speaks from TV screens, showing off with an EU flag in the background, saying he was defending American values here. I believe it is obvious to everyone that these statements are cynical. Those who try to defend him understand that it is a losing game.
Who is the contact person in Georgia then? If Georgia remains a party in the talks, if you do not see Saakashvili as a negotiator?
Sometimes this question has no answer at all. For example, yesterday, a need emerged to have another conversation with the Georgian foreign minister, Keshelashvili. We've been in contact over the last days on the phone. Yesterday, it took several hours to get her at least on one of the phone numbers of the Georgian Foreign Ministry. We talked with her. So we have communications channels. And my deputy is in constant contact with his counterpart in the Georgian Foreign Ministry. So we keep talking.
Mr. Lavrov, concerning Georgia's territorial integrity and the future status of South Ossetia and Abkhazia, Russian Deputy Prime Minister Sergei Ivanov, when speaking with the BBC, said that it could be discussed. So the issue is not out of the scope of discussions.
Of course, when Mikhail Saakashvili became president for the first time, his means of coming to power in Georgia was quite original. Not through elections, it was in 2003. From his first days as president, he has been saying his goal is to reinstate Georgia's territorial integrity. In other words, to settle conflicts in South Ossetia and Abkhazia that go back to the past and deep into history. You can see how it has all been developing. But what caused the situation in recent years originates from decisions by the first president of an independent Georgia after the collapse of the Soviet Union. It was Mr. Gamsakhurdia who issued a motto, Georgia for Georgians. he sent Georgian troops to Sukhumi and Skhinvali when he was annoyed by the Abkhazian South Ossetian protest against his decision to abolish their autonomies. The war started. You know what happened next. The Georgian troops were dislodged, and peacekeeping mechanisms were agreed then with the help of Russia, who paid with the blood of their soldiers for that. Peacekeeping and negotiating structures and mechanisms were agreed. We hoped that would allow decision-making that would help preserve Georgia as a single state. At the same time, they provided for the rights and freedoms of South Ossetians and Abkhazians, based on the principles of autonomies. The fact that Mr. Saakashvili has tried many times to get rid of these negotiating mechanisms, violated agreements reached in this framework, and made attempts to settle the conflicts by force speaks for itself. As for methods today's leader of Georgia uses to fulfill his mission of gatherer of Georgian lands, I have brought a quotation with me. One of the journalists told me that Saakashvili was speaking live on February 25, 2006. He said, "I will not give orders to launch a military operation. I do not want any people to die because the repercussions of blood spilled in the Caucasus will last not only for decades, but for centuries. We will reach the goal through talks and consultations." So it's clear he told a lie. But one thing he got right. The consequences will last for centuries, not decades. So we can now start counting centuries from August the 8th, 2008. The wounds Saakashvili has inflicted are deep, and the healing process will be long. What we've kept telling Mr. Saakashvili all these years is that he should learn to speak patiently and respectfully to the people whom he considers to be his citizens, whom he considers to be his compatriots. He has definitely failed to do that. You know what he has done instead? Mr. Saakashvili is causing great damage not only to South Ossetians and Abkhazians, but also to Georgians, his own people, if ethnic terms are to be used. What did he do for the Georgian state as a result of this adventure? Before that, Georgian enclaves in South Ossetian territory, in spite of all the problems and difficulties. Georgian people used to live there. The peacekeeping forces included a Georgian battalion alongside a Russian and South Ossetian one. He was really present in South Ossetia. He could have used it to increase trust and dialogue and communication on how to settle those problems together. Such an agreement was reached at the Joint Control Commission a year and a half ago on forming a joint South Ossetian working group to develop the settlement plan. Then he just cancelled that agreement. He could have worked honestly within the existing format, which would have definitely taken a long time, but it was the only way towards any kind of
resolution.
All right,
we'll be right back with Michelle Chalcedonsky, and I'm going to finish up some of these clips as well. Sundown on the Union. The New World Order globalists want an empire of private corporations and merc armies. They want to destroy and debase Russia and the United States. We have always been their true targets. That's why they played us off against each other. Now they fully encircled Russia. For the last 8 years, they've been engaging in massively provocative actions. NATO started a preemptive policy to sneak attack Russia. Their top generals have been covering that, saying, fine, we reserve that as well. We're moving nukes back in to hit Poland, to hit other nations, because the West is moving missiles in to shoot down their missiles so the West can launch a counterattack. So they can launch the first attack, and so the Russian counterattack can be shot down. So this is destroying the balance of power and putting the world in a very dangerous position. We're going to go to Professor Michelle Chalcedonsky of globalresearch.ca, an expert on the situation, in just a minute. But I wanted to finish with this clip in a press conference of the Russian foreign minister talking about the sneak attack, not just on Ossetia and other cities, but sneak attacks within the United Nations camps, within the military bases. This is the ultimate form of treachery. Georgian peacekeepers assigned to the Russian and NATO peacekeeping force within the bases, sneak attack, shooting, stabbing. And this is all coming out. Russians would run out of their barracks and they'd machine gun them inside the bases. This was a covert operation, the most dastardly sneak attack you can carry out. Your own forces against you. Let's play that for about a minute and then go to our guest.
Then he just canceled that agreement. He could have worked honestly within the existing format, which would have definitely taken a long time, but it was the only way towards any kind of resolution. Instead of that, he secretly formed reinforced regions within those Georgian enclaves in South Ossetia. In essence, he was preparing the campaign which he began last Friday. We all know the results. The campaign failed. But during the campaign, the Georgian peacekeepers acted like traitors. They started shooting at the Russian peacekeepers.
Was it proved? Were they really peacekeepers?
Yes, those were the peacekeepers. There is nothing to prove there. When it all started on the night of the 8th of August, the Russian military were urgently trying to get a hold of any Georgian authorities. They were able to catch the Georgian deputy defense minister. They asked him what was going on. At that time, bombs were falling on Skenvali, and he replied, "We've declared war on Ossetia, and we're going to restore the constitutional order." Immediately after that, the commander of the Georgian battalion, as a part of the joint peacekeeping forces, announced that they had joined the operation of restoring the constitutional order, and they started shooting at their brothers in arms. Now we cannot imagine Georgian peacekeepers will appear in South Ossetia again. As far as I know, the majority of Georgians have escaped from the enclaves in Ossetia. The Ossetian residents are obviously willing to take revenge,
right,
which would be absolutely wrong.
We're going to go to Professor Chalcedovsky. I just want to preface this. Now Georgia is not the main issue. It was the excuse, the spark, like the Balkans for World War I. This is part of a larger escalation directed by the United States and NATO and the criminal globalists that control us. This is all stated and admitted. They are now escalating throughout the entire region, encircling Russia. There are escalations in Pakistan, escalations, of course, in Iraq with Iran, escalations in Georgia, escalations in Czechoslovakia and the Czech Republic, escalations in Poland, Ukraine, escalations in the Black Sea with the government where the Russians have a port based, Ukraine, threatening to not let the Russian ships come back to what they've leased. And now they've announced, yes, Poland accepts the, quote, missile shield, which is to shoot down Russian missiles. That means Russia can be snuck attack and then not be able to respond. Massive escalation. Every top analyst is saying this could lead to World War III. This is a huge, massive historical thing that's happening. Let's go to Professor Chalcedovsky to break this down.
Well, absolutely. It reminds me of a key statement in the Project for the New American Century, a document published shortly before Bush's accession to the White House, which said, which confirmed the intent to wage multiple and simultaneous theater wars, not consecutive, but simultaneous. And what we are seeing, I think, is a suicidal foreign policy of initiating wars in various parts of the world at the same time. We've been following the naval exercises, war games off the North Atlantic coastline, entitled Operation Brimstone, that terminated just about a couple of weeks ago. And it was explicitly stated in these war games, which is not the normal practice, that they were planning, that they were the dress rehearsal for the implementation of a naval blockade directed against Iran. And then 1 week later, what you have, an attack on South Ossetia, which was largely intended to kill civilians. It was very clearly laid out in that way because they bombed hospitals, the university.
It was a provocation. It was a provocation.
It was a provocation. It had if they had wanted to go in and take control of the province, they would have sent in special forces taking over key buildings and government departments and communications networks. They were not interested in that. They were there to kill people, and they immediately triggered a Russian response, which, if you look at the press reports, because the press reports are lying through their teeth. But I looked at the first press reports, the BBC. They said in excess of 1,400 civilian deaths in South Ossetia, and then they say something like 63 deaths, or no, 150 deaths in Georgia, which were attributable to Russian bombardments of essentially military sites. Okay, so that we're dealing with a tremendous asymmetry. And then the media goes in and accuses the Russians of killing civilians. CNN used the footage of Georgian attacks of South Ossetia, saying that in fact these were not Georgians but Russians killing Georgians. So that, and that's nothing new, because they fiddled around with
Bosnia. In Bosnia, yeah.
Well, in Bosnia, but also in more recently in Tibet. Where, I mean, I followed that, where CNN showed peaceful demonstrations in India with Indian cops knocking on demonstrators, and then they said no. Then they covered the following day. They covered events in China, and they showed these Indian. They showed the Chinese cops in khaki uniforms with mustache, etc., who didn't look Chinese. And then they said, look, this is a peaceful demonstration. So that they've been manipulating the images, fabricating the data, when in fact their own initial reports were quite factually acknowledging the fact that this was it was a genocide. It was their killing. Up to 2,000 people were killed in bombings. And the U.S. planners knew from the outset that this military operation would never succeed in achieving its stated objective.
But it was meant for the dumbed-down public to have the fact that Russia is now reintroduces the enemy. They've attacked an innocent country. They attacked Georgia for no reason. Russia's the bad guy. So they're now painting Russia black for a new escalation, which now a weekend they have announced with Poland. But before we go into the really important news here, this going from just the region to the whole of Europe, Eastern Europe, Central Europe, and now Central Asia, the Israel connection, Professor, we know the foreign minister and the defense minister are just Israeli Mossad. We know that Israel's involved there, bizarrely. We know NATO is involved. We know they've captured huge U.S. weapons caches. The United States is flying in supplies into Tbilisi. All of that is going on. And then meanwhile, the general public thinks Russia attacked and started all of this. So break that down.
Well, absolutely. I mean, for instance, they had these war games in Georgia just before they actually implemented this major attack. And the report even said that there were Israeli advisors who were helping them. They used Israeli drones. The Israelis have, they have factories there producing weapons and so on. So that essentially this is an outpost of the United States and NATO in the Caucasus. It's interesting that what U.S. public opinion never hears is the fact that there's a public outrage in Georgia. I've just received a statement from a Georgian peace committee where they condemn the president in no uncertain terms. This does not have the support of the Georgian population.
You're right. By the way, that slipped out even on CNN and Fox, because they'll be interviewing people live on the streets, which they've stopped doing, and they're like, how dare Mikhail Shashvili do this? How dare he attack Russia? What is he thinking? They're invincible. You know, why did he do this?
Yeah, and he did it. He did it in the name of the Georgian people, and the Georgian people are saying, no, we have nothing to do. I just received it from the Georgian Peace Committee, and it's an extremely strong statement. We've just published it on our website, that they do not have, that this was an arbitrary act by the regime. They accused American instructors of having guided the Georgian army. They acknowledged that 2,000 inhabitants of the South Ossetia capital have been killed. Georgian civilians have also died. But they accuse their own government. They don't accuse the Russians of this disaster, which is quite a, you know, quite a step to take when you're you know, you're in Georgia and you actually accuse the government.
Well, let's shift gears now from just focusing in on the Caucasus there to the east of the Black Sea, and let's pull back now and look at the whole picture in Europe, into Central Asia, what the New World Order is doing here on the grand chessboard, what they plan to unleash now from all their Pentagon and PNAC documents that we have.
Well, I think that is the issue we have to start discussing now, because on the one hand, you have this missile defense, so-called missile defense situation in Poland. On August 14th, that was yesterday, right? The governments of the United States and Poland signed an agreement which allows Poland to deploy, which allows, I'm sorry, the United States to deploy on Polish soil directed against Russia. Of course, they say that these missile interceptors are in fact directed against rogue states, including Iran, which is a totally absurd statement. And the Russians have said that they're going to react because this is essentially intended to put Russia in a situation where it could be the object of a preemptive nuclear attack. Now, I should mention that the notion of a preemptive nuclear attack against Russia and China has been envisaged since 2002, officially. Before that, of course, before that as well, but in the post-Cold War era, the Nuclear Posture Review of 2002 says that we not only target the rogue states, but we also target China and Russia, okay? And as you rightly suggested, both Russia and China are being surrounded. China is being surrounded by U.S. military bases from its western frontier, bordering on Afghanistan and Pakistan, right to the Far East, to the Korean Peninsula. You have U.S. bases. The whole South China Sea is militarized. China's targeted. Russia's targeted. Iran is targeted. Who else is targeted? I mean, This is a war without borders, but the United States may have the military might to pursue it, but they don't have the ability to control it, and it's leading the world down the tube. I don't know how to describe it, because on top of that you have an economic crisis, which hasn't yet reached its climax and could well be characterized by a total meltdown of the financial
system. Yes, words cannot describe how vicious, how savage, how criminal, how premeditated and diabolical it is to launch a sneak attack on Russian forces inside their own bases with cutthroats, and then to lie to the supine, brain-damaged public and tell them Russia attacked. Now to be encircling with weapons systems and masses of U.S. troops the last 8 years. NATO's own policy doctrine says they'll preemptively nuke Russia. Russian generals, looking completely freaked out, are on television saying, please don't attack us. We don't want to have to nuke you. Why are you doing this? And then, meanwhile, the public's giggling and snickering, and I'm seeing letters to the editors and seeing message boards saying, let's just nuke them, you know, as the decadent West is totally disconnected from reality.
No, but that's correct. And I mean, it even goes to the extent of saying that nuclear weapons are harmless to the surrounding civilian population. They've been pushing that idea that nukes are somehow harmless because, as they said, with the new bunker buster technologies, you can have the explosion underground, and it's ultimately a nuclear bomb. Six times Hiroshima is called a mini nuke, but it is a humanitarian bomb. All that has been done with the complicity of scientists and so on. I've been following this for several years now. But I think what is most disturbing is the latest piece of doctrine coming out from NATO and the United States, which is this NATO document, which calls essentially calls for preemptive nuclear war. It was brought out in December 2007. It's called Towards a Grand Strategy for an Uncertain World, Renewing, it's a good title, Renewing Transatlantic Partnership. And that, what it says here is, I quote, that nuclear war might soon become possible in an increasingly brutal world. And the document proposes the first use of nuclear weapons as a means to prevent other countries from using their nuclear weapons, which they don't have. That's the case in relation
to Iran. Stay there.
We're
going to come back, Professor. I want to finish up with this. Understand what's happening. NATO comes out and says, we can preemptively nuke you. It's a good thing. And Russia says, okay, we can preemptively nuke you. See that escalation? Unprecedented. Unprecedented. This is preemptive. This is unbelievable. Carrier battle groups going into the Gulf, open talk of preemptively striking Iran. The globalists have said if Iran fights back in any way, it will be declared terrorism. They will be hit with nukes. Imagine, we're going to attack you. If you fight back, we're going to nuke you. We're the good guys. We're going to attack you, Russia. We're going to tell our idiot public that believes anything that you attacked us, and we're going to move in missiles, and we're going to talk about nuking you out of the blue sky. Okay, you ready to have war? We're psychopaths. We got bunkers. We don't care about killing our own people. We're into population reduction. We're the New World Order. And this is doing something else. It's making the United States the bad guy with the torture of children and the Abu Ghraib and the preemptive war. The world's all learning the truth and seeing U.S. news and British news saying that Russia attacked. And they're going, my God, this country's Hitler. Again, the New World Order wants to destroy our name. They use us to do this evil. It's very sophisticated. Professor Chasadosky, your take on what I just said.
Absolutely. Your assessment of what's happening in the world is dead on. Unfortunately, this is where we're going. We were talking about before the break on this NATO document, which is absolutely it's Dr. Strangelove. What it says is that we should resort, I quote, resort to a preemptive nuclear attack to try to halt the imminent spread of nuclear weapons. Now, doesn't that sound incredible, the statement?
We're going to nuke you for peace. Oh, we're gonna destroy your cities out of a blue sky because we're the good guys. We're the ones that put out memos saying we torture two-year-olds. We're the good guys.
And then they say, they insist, the NATO report insists, and it is part of U.S. military doctrine as well, that the option of a nuclear first strike is indispensable since there is simply no realistic prospect of a nuclear-free world, unquote. Quote, nuclear weapons are the ultimate instrument of an asymmetric response, at the same time the ultimate tool of escalation. And in other words, escalation is their ultimate objective. When they send in a naval armada, The naval surge has not occurred yet. There were some misleading reports, which I think
Israel. Israel put that out.
Yeah, it was Debka who put it out, and then it was quoted by a whole number of sources.
Jerusalem Post.
And the Kuwaiti government went haywire, and they started declaring emergency measures. But in effect, I think the surge is on. The naval surge is on.
Yeah, there's three groups already there, but two more you're saying may not be going there.
Well, what I'm saying is that according to the U.S. Navy sources, the two strike groups that were supposed to go to the Persian Gulf, according to Israeli sources, have gone back to their base at Norfolk, Virginia. This does not mean that the naval surge is off. It simply means that the timing has been changed. And in the wake of Operation Brimstone, they haven't decided to go head on and send in the naval forces.
Now, let's be clear. We also have top admirals like Fallon quitting because they don't want to go on with the attack, and he said that. So people say, well, people in the government should quit and go public. They are. How many generals, how many admirals have gone public and quit? I mean, it's in scores now.
Well, that's correct. I mean, Admiral Fallon was a firm supporter of the Bush administration. They thought he was a safe appointment, and then he started having hesitations. Admiral Mullen, head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is also having hesitations. There's lots of resistance.
Yeah, stay there. I want you to come back in five final minutes and talk about that. Understand, folks, these top admirals and generals, these commanders of theater operations, they're seeing the plan, the big board of, we're going to start it here with the Russians, and we're going to start it there in Pakistan, and we're going to then go into Iran, and this will unleash a world war, and then we'll use nukes. And these generals and admirals are going, my God, we're going to launch World War III to be bigger mass murderers than Adolf Hitler and Stalin combined? I retire! I'm out of here!
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. Media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Throughout history, if you study the psychology, the criminology of elites, 9 times out of 10, that's a conservative estimate, it's really about 99% of the time, elites, imperiums go insane. They start marrying their horses, slaughtering people, crucifying 10,000 people on one day, running around dressed up like women, drinking blood. I mean, this is what elites do. Just no one can say no to them. They go crazy. Whereas we had evil globalists before who had a cool hand and were, you know, wanted it slower, you've now got people who have minions like Karl Rove, who says, we control reality, we control destiny. Most of these elitists are into Kabbalah and black magic. I don't believe in that. These, you know, atheists send me emails going, why are you talking about all this crazy stuff? Excuse me, I don't believe that. They believe it. They're nuts. Astrology, all of it. It's a fact. And in the last 4 minutes, we've got Professor Chasadosky of globalresearch.ca. Can you just speak to, because you've been studying this for a long time as well, I mean, these are very bold people, too. I mean, 9/11 was a very bold stroke, very theatrical. And that showed to me a recklessness that shows me that they do have megalomania.
Well, it's difficult to describe because it's a constellation of both individuals who are potentially, bordering on lunacy, and very powerful corporations, the oil companies, the military contractors, the financial institutions. And they're pushing in both the same and in opposite directions. It's a very contradictory process that we're living in, and I think the only hope we have is that there's some common sense which prevails among people like Admiral Mullen, for instance. Even though I'm not an admirer of any of these people, because ultimately they're still the architects of war, but you were mentioning before the break the resistance within the armed forces to the Cheney, essentially to Vice President Dick Cheney's perspective of launching World War III, and there's a lot of hesitation because they can break their necks in waging naval operations, which ultimately, nuclear attacks, which ultimately backlash. Any kind of attack on Iran, limited attack, and they've done all the scenarios, will unleash a war which will extend from the eastern Mediterranean right through to the Chinese border. It will integrate the three distinct war theaters that currently prevail, namely Afghanistan, Iraq, and Palestine-Lebanon. There are other minor war theaters such as Pakistan, but essentially what you're going to get is a single big war zone.
A crescent, a fiery crescent.
Absolutely, and if they use nuclear weapons, which they plan to do preemptively, you're going to contaminate the whole area.
Well, hey, Russia's saying if people take nukes out of the box, anywhere their borders, they're going to town. And Russians do what they say.
Well, we don't know. I mean, Russia's a very complex society. We must also understand that U.S. and Western financial interests, oil interests, are also embedded in there. It's not entirely clear that the leadership is divided. You have the general.
I agree with you, but what this shows is delusion. Because the elites.
Oh, it's delusion. It's certainly delusion. I think the delusion, and I think the lunacy is certainly coming from key decision makers in the Bush administration, intellectual people who are, you know, who have PhDs and so on, who are the architects. It's not coming from the military people. It's coming essentially from civilian.
Tell you what, hold on one moment, Professor. Don't go. Hold on.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, Professor Chasudowski, finishing up the point about these chicken hawk academics, literally little pot-bellied wimps. You look at them, and we've gone to events and confronted them, and they'll come over and attack our cameras and start slapping them like some type of effeminate Nelly, and they're all the same. And I've seen press reports about Richard Pearl. He'll go up to beautiful women at Georgetown parties and go, "I have power." This has been quoted in newspapers. You know how many people have died from my power? That's what they call him, the Prince of Darkness, just a little fat, bleached, you know, never out in the light of day with little bald head with a wisp of white hair on it going, wobbling around with his hands sitting on his belly going, "Oh, you know how much power I have, how many people I've killed." I'm sure you've seen those reports. I mean, these are literal maggots out of the very pit of hell. And I got to tell you, it makes me as a father and as somebody who understands that manliness is about being loving. You know, these guys that think they're tough, the real strength comes from defending people, folks. The strength makes you want to just, it'll tear you apart. Compared to these sacks of pus who just have unlimited power and control, they think, and are just wrecking our world. Professor Chasudowski.
Yes, I think that what we need, we were discussing the issue of what do we do, where are we going? And I pointed to you that I think that the anti-war movement is an absolute failure. It's infiltrated. It's based on the ritual of having big rallies. It doesn't build networks. So what people have to do if they want to reverse the tide, they have to organize at the grassroots level across the land, across America, in every single municipality, parish. Break down political lines between parties because everybody has the same interest to undermine this new world order agenda and ensure the livelihood of people at home and abroad. It's a military project which is destroying the community of nations. In a real sense, it is threatening life on this planet. And unless we organize cohesively, politically, outside the affiliations with Republicans, Democrats, and so on, but across the land, this new world order will prevail. And we see it in terms of the legislation which is being proposed. We see how the spy apparatus, the police state, is gradually being established across America, and so on. And we also see how the United States and its allies are operating internationally in terms of these various military operations. Julius Caesar actually said, "You cannot build an empire with a republic." That's exactly what's happening. They're thrashing the republic, and they're building the empire. But another thing is that empires collapse.
That's right. They are absorbing the republic as the sustenance, the fuel, destroying its name, writing all the checks on its credit, on our future, on our name, and our blood, and then blaming it all on us when they get their global corporate whorehouse. In closing, I just think about the fact that you're right. It is the left-right system. It is that is holding people, inside the corporate structure.
And then they also, there's another aspect, they're creating various crises which overshadow the real crisis, which is war and nuclear war. They're telling us, oh, you must be concerned about global warming. So everybody gets real worked up about global warming, but nobody really gives a damn about nuclear war. And so that this whole military, I mean, it's as if the war is something that you just watch on TV, and you don't realize that ultimately this is going to modify your life fundamentally. We're in a situation where World War III could break out, and it would be announced on CNN, okay? And people would simply say, oh, yeah, we have to be concerned with global warming, okay? So this is the kind of absurdity, apart from the fact that the global warming consensus is challenged in a very meaningful way.
Well, they can fool the dumbed-down population, but if they can't fool their specialists, their military brass, who knows this is hardcore crime, a very wicked group of people have gotten control of our society, and it transcends, in closing, political parties, where Barack Obama and McCain both are jockeying for who can rattle sabers the best.
Absolutely, but I mean, I wouldn't necessarily put too much trust in the high ranks of the U.S. military. Not that I think that there's some good people and voices coming out, but they've also said that their mandate is to obey orders, and even though they may be against this project, they will ultimately respect the hierarchy of military command, and that is. Otherwise, you go into another scenario, which may be a military coup, where the military people say, "No, we're not going this way anymore," and they try to and they resist those commands that are coming from, of course, the commander.
But that can lead into something very dangerous as well.
I beg your pardon?
That can lead into something very dangerous as well.
Oh, absolutely! I'm not absolutely. But
I have to say that's better than starting World War III.
It's better than starting World War III. But what I'm suggesting is that the military men, if you take Admiral Fallon, Michael Mullen, and so on, what they're saying is that they are dead against this war, or they may say it in different ways, but they're against the war. They think it's suicide. But if it comes to an actual decision, they will abide by the command structure of the U.S. Armed Forces.
Well, I mean, that's distorted. That was, last century at Nuremberg, this following orders business. I mean, if they order the U.S. to preemptively nuke some innocent country, you have to follow the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, your own moral compass.
No, I absolutely agree on that. I mean, the U.S. Constitution demands that U.S. servicemen and women disobey orders. That is very fundamental, I wrote a short article on that issue a couple of years ago.
No, I know you know that. I was just speaking to the military.
Let's address the military. Yes, your duty is to disobey orders. If there's a criminal war with launching, nukes and so on, there is a responsibility. It's a constitutional responsibility to disobey those orders because they're contrary to international law and they're contrary to the U.S. Constitution.
Well, in closing, we go back to the foundations controlling the anti-war movement, the Democrats cheerleading for war. We send them there to end the war. It all expands. And, I mean, don't all these Nancy Pelosi's and all these, rich girls and boys, and, I mean, they're all a bunch of soft billionaires. Don't they understand this is the real world? I mean, are they so delusional that they don't understand? They better start saying no now. This endangers all of us.
Well, it's a little bit like the Spanish Inquisition. So everybody believes in it, and they believe in it. They believe in their own propaganda, their own lies. It's a very complex mechanism, but people come to believe in these lies,
the fables.
when it suits their, of course, it suits their interests so that they will go along with it. And they don't feel uncomfortable with the notion that that a nuclear war could lead to to a catastrophe and the elimination of millions of people around the world. A nuclear war, in effect, if we understand what radiation is essentially the death. It's the end of life on this planet.
It is the reign of the cockroach. Professor Chasadosky, thank you for all your time. People can read your wonderful articles and many other great researchers at globalresearch.ca. We carry a lot of it at infowars.com and prisonplanet.com. Just a wonderful source of information. Thank you for coming on with us.
Thank you very much, Alex. Bye.
You bet. Goodbye. Have a good weekend. What you have is a decadent population, and I'm decadent too. I mean, we're very soft compared to our ancestors. We're very disconnected from reality. Even those of us that try to be physically in shape and mentally in shape and mentally informed. It's hard to know what's going on. Things are so complex. It's so bad you can't gauge it. It's off the chart. It breaks the gauge. And it's accelerating everywhere. I mean, the secret police, the military hiring aggravated felons, the police hiring criminals, the prisons being built everywhere, the CPS grabbing kids, the trying to force us to take inoculations. It's the cloning, the cross-species humanoids they're making. Yes, folks, just type human-animal hybrid into Google, hundreds of mainstream news. It's 2008, ladies and gentlemen. The BBC talks about a new cloak of invisibility the military has, and it shows it to you. You know, I told you about that a decade ago and got laughed at. It's we're in 2008, psychopaths on power trips. You know, I don't think it's completely that they're psychopathic. They are psychopathic, totally nuts on power trips. They're controlled psychos, though. Obsessive, compulsive, neurotic psychopaths. But they've got a lot of secret weapons. And at the end of the day, that's one of the reasons they're just so arrogant. And they got biological weapons that will kill 100% of the people come in contact with it. They got race-specific weapons that will kill every black person on the planet. That will kill every Arab on the planet. That will kill every Jew, every German, whoever they want. They've got weapons that will kill certain families. They brag about it. They write public documents saying we ought to use this on our people. The British military comes out and says we ought to use neutron bombs on our cities if they ever try to rebel and overthrow this. All the big military documents say we're running a dictatorship and we'll drop neutron bombs on our people if they ever try to remove us. Okay? That's it. They're on power trips. They got the weapons. That's it.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
Let me simply and succinctly tell you what the New World Order is. It is a consortium of the Fortune 500, predominantly owned by the private central banks that issue the currency and liquidity of the Western world and most of the other nations of the planet. They scientifically, over 100 years ago, went to the best scientific bodies in the world and said, we're going to fully finance you for the final revolution of the elite against their fellow humans to build a world government, a world empire that is scientific and scientifically dumbs down and enslaves the population, that militarily totally controls them. And they have now built much of that. They have put in their electronic voting machines in about 40% of the country that are total frauds. They've been proven as frauds. Their own executives, their own programmers have come out hundreds of times saying they were hired for fraud. It's all fraud. Nothing happens. They testify before legislatures. Nothing can be done about it at that level. So, see, they preempted us to remove them in the democratic states by putting these machines in. They have poisoned and brainwashed and lied to the public. They have dumbed us down. We have all the official Department of Education documents similar in every major Western nation. The German PhD system merged with the whole eugenics plan about 100 years ago, and it is just total war. And then you read last year's British Ministry of Defense 10-year perspective on what they believe is going to happen, and they talk about using bioweapons on the public. They talk about if the public ever rebels and is about to take over our system, we'll just use neutron bombs on them. Dick Cheney writes similar things in the PNAC September 2000, Rebuilding America's Defenses document, saying we need to legitimize in the media, prepare the public for the use of race-specific bioweapons. I mean, it is just totally criminal. It comes out that Cheney was planning to have Navy SEALs dress up like Iranians and create fake patrol boats that look like Iranians to attack our ships. Totally criminal. Nothing happens. It's both parties. It's just absolutely scientifically run. And it's hell on earth, ladies and gentlemen. And now they've started a war with Russia, and they're trying to kick it into high gear. These people are just never going to stop. You have to stop complying with them, stop going along with them, start criticizing them, discrediting the system. We just have to say no, and we have to fully expose them to everyone and let the public know why the economy is getting bad, why the government's taking their children are dumbed down, why they're sick, why the society's falling apart. It is the globalists. They are playing God. They are poisoning our water, our food. They're injecting us. They're doing everything you can imagine. It's all admitted. It is the worst nightmare you can imagine. But see, there's this beautiful backdrop of sunny skies and happy people and movie theaters and all these baubles to neutralize us. But now we're going into the more hardcore, deeper level of this, and it's going to get very, very serious. And they are just moving to create a worldwide absolute dictatorship. And that's what the New World Order is. And so when you get Mikhail Shashvili coming out and saying, this is about the New World Order, you've got to come and attack Russia, you know, do all this, oh, freedom, freedom, oh, you must fight Big Brother, New World Order will help you. I mean, he starts quoting 1984 like he's the good guy. And then, of course, Russia's got the New World Order totally in control of many facets of his society. They play nations off against each other, and then they amass the power and wealth and control in these corporate hands, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And there's only a few thousand top technocrats who have designed these pyramidal power structures of compartmentalization that see the big picture. Okay? And then large pieces of it, though, are in the white papers and in the Pentagon plans and in the Ministry of Defense plans, and they come right out and admit it. Large sections of it. But still, because they get money and power and prestige by serving it, these military officers, think tank experts, academics go along with it until they finally get the highest level of power in their pyramid. And as soon as they become a head of operations, Admiral Fallon, as soon as they step into the inner room and are shown the full battle plan against humanity, they always resign. Almost all of them resign. People who were competitive, so they did anything to get the power, and then they finally got the power, and they're like, this is horrible. You mean we really are evil? And that's why you see them resigning, 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 resigning all over, in Russia, in England, in Australia, here. But they always have some new sicko to replace them, and they finally find people who are told the full plan and go, yeah, I'm for it. Let's do it. And you know, that freaks me out. Right now, I'm very upset. To have to sit here and just to lay that out and to face that for myself and to face that's what we've got. And they got all these well-meaning police chiefs that think it's cute to face scan us and track our license plates because they're the cops, they're the good guys. But it's an evil system and going to be used for evil. And oh, yeah, we, you know, take your child if they break their finger falling off the monkey bars, you know, because you might be abusing them. And yeah, a bunch of people die from the vaccines, but overall they're for a good reason, so we're going to keep using them. And oh, you kooks, wear your tinfoil hats. Sodium fluoride isn't bad for you. And you show them all the documents, and they say, oh, well, just keep drinking it. Meanwhile, it hurts all of us. 99.9999% of us. This is bad. And for the elite, it's bad. The system they've created will bring them to ruin. You think this human-chewing, soul-sucking system they're building is going to stop? If it was just a few thousand globalists left, they'll kill each other.
Pienso que un sueño parecido no volverá más. Y me pintaba las manos y la cara de azul. Y de provisa el viento rápida me llevó. Y me hizo a volar en el cielo infinito. Solo para mí. Volaré, oh, cantaré.
We're back live. I want to take your phone calls into the next hour. We got Jonathan Elinoff popping in with what's happening in Denver and the FEMA camp they've got there. Then Bob Chapman, 1-800-259-9231. For some reason, my IM is not working. Just give me those callers one at a time in a minute, John, please. I do want to let everybody know that Fabled Enemies is now available for pre-order. And by pre-order, we'll be shipping these out in 15 days. Wink, wink. Let me give you a little hint. They're being manufactured right now. We're supposed to get them middle of next week. And we will probably just go ahead and start shipping these out next week a few days early. That's how I like to do it. I don't like to wait to get information out. But the bottom line is you can pre-order Fabled Enemies, the new film now. You can go to Infowars.com. There's a huge banner right on the right-hand side to the secure online video and bookstore shopping cart at Infowars.com, the Yahoo shopping cart. You can go there and order Fabled Enemies. And we have discounts on there where you can get combos, where you can get Fabled Enemies for $19.95, or you can order it and get 9/11 Chronicles Truth Rising for $9.95 when you get it with Fabled Enemies. You can also get Loose Change Final Cut with Fabled Enemies for $9.95. You can also get for $39.85 three films, Fabled Enemies, Loose Change Final Cut, and Truth Rising together for $39.85. And the meager amount of videos we sell, it's always huge on the web, allows us to continue operating. So please go there today and pre-order Fabled Enemies or one of the combos. And they're coming in next week. They're being manufactured right now. And we'll be shipping these out to you by the 31st, if not earlier. And then on the 1st, it will go up on PrisonPlanet.tv in super high quality in about, I don't know, 5-6 different versions. A DivX version you can download and burn to disk and give people DivX players. About half the new DVD players have that. I mean, it's a huge activist tool. You can go there right now to PrisonPlanet.tv. $5.95 a month, or get a yearly membership and get 3 months free. Comes out to about 15 cents a day. PrisonPlanet.tv. All 19 of my films, now Burmese's film, I've produced a bunch of other great documentaries. They are all available right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. My weekly TV reports when we go live always in the fourth hour, live video feed of that for PrisonPlanet.tv members. Then we archive that within hours, and it's posted after the show up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. We've got windows all over all the sites where you just type in your code and watch whatever media you want. 4.5 years now under our belt with PrisonPlanet.tv, and now it's got super fast CDN servers. In the past, we just had one big server, then two big servers, and people share their passcodes. It'd slow down during peak times. Not anymore, folks. We spend a lot of money on having two content distribution networks. That's right, not just one, two. It's backed up on two. And so I want to thank you all for your support. But here's one of the trailers. This is trailer two from Fabled Enemies. You can go watch them right now at Infowars.com.
Fox News has learned that some American terrorism investigators fear certain suspects in the September 11th attacks may have managed to stay ahead of them.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
Whether it's because they're in intelligence services or what they were doing, I will defer to the Department of Justice and the FBI.
That there was a report on the George Washington Bridge that there had been a van stopped there that had explosives.
We have a suspect who's driven from throwing the van, the van exploded.
Amdocs Limited, an Israeli-based private telecommunications company. It is virtually impossible to make a call on normal phones without generating an Amdocs record of it.
It quickly unraveled to be the largest foreign spy ring ever uncovered inside the United States, the largest.
Documents say they, quote, targeted and penetrated military bases, the DEA, FBI, and dozens of other government facilities.
There's one big elephant in the living room. It is the relationship between the United States of America and the State of Israel.
What about this question of advanced knowledge of what was going to happen on 9/11?
Well, it's very explosive information, obviously. A bigger question, they say, is how could they not have known?
Now, this is not my first film getting into Israeli-sponsored terrorism. It's actually my fourth. But it technically isn't my fourth because this is Jason Burmes' film. Now, about 20-30%, about 30% of the two-hour film is specifically about Israel's role. And then it gets into the ghost planes, continuity of government, how they were controlling it. It gets into Pakistani's connection because they're definitely involved in the attacks, England, the United States, Dick Cheney. All the parties just as guilty. We just give you the wide picture. It's just like I, in Terror Storm, spend 20 minutes on the USS Liberty and how Israel premeditatedly attacked that ship. I got a lot of heat for that, but I interviewed the admirals, the chairman, Joint Chiefs of Staff, people involved. It's the truth, and now we've been vindicated by the Chicago Tribune and others reporting with the declassified documents that indeed that was the case. And the White House was involved. That doesn't shield Israel, as people try to spin. That shows how it was connected. Like if two guys, again, rob a bank, they're both just as guilty. In fact, more so, because it shows the collusion, more malice aforethought, the premeditated nature of it. And so we are really stepping out on a limb, though, with this film because the attacks are only going to intensify. But we're doing it. We're doing it, and it is the facts, and it is covered. Now, I've always said that I believe Israel was involved in the attacks but could not run the attacks. I mean, just like Georgia, the U.S., NATO, Israel, we're covering all that. We were the first big show. All of the Israel-bashing programs, that's all they do, have just now figured out that Israel was intimately involved, in fact, commanding many of the forces. We broke that here, really. We broke that last Sunday. So we're there covering that again. We just don't do it in a hateful way. And we don't blame everybody in Israel because it's a diverse country. Just like we don't blame everybody in America for Dick Cheney and the neocons. We don't blame everybody in England for the Queen of England. So this film is extremely powerful, ladies and gentlemen. Fabled Enemies, available at InfoWars.com right now. I mean, 2 weeks is going to go by like the snap of a finger. Snap of your fingers. And so get your order in now. It is being mass-produced as we speak at the factory in Dallas. It's going to be shipped out reportedly middle of next week down to Austin. We should have it by the end of the week, if not earlier. In fact, I just had a factory check disc that we just approved this morning, and so they are manufacturing them today. It only takes a few hours on these giant assembly lines to make a few thousand of these. And so, boom, call was made. That sucker is being manufactured right now. It is being manufactured right now for you, and it will be out to you hot off the presses, so order Fabled Enemies today. While you're at it, order Terror Storm, order Endgame, which shows you the larger eugenics plan. Very important film. You know, this is the seventh year after 9/11 coming up. This is when Bush is about to leave office. This is the peak. I don't know if it's going to get bigger from here. I would imagine it wouldn't, unless they stage more terror attacks. The movement against government-sponsored terror will then just get bigger. This is the peak of 9/11 truth right now. Going into this election, and we need to have everybody understand who sponsored the terror so Barack Obama or John McCain doesn't do it. And the media has been saying Al-Qaeda will terror attack us right after the election to test our resolve. And then, see, that'll depoliticize it. It won't be about Bush anymore. Oh, then Barack Obama can take all the police state powers, or McCain can, and, oh, launch more wars because we were hit. The military-industrial complex wants to attack more countries, and they wrote in the PNAC documents and the Zbigniew Brzezinski documents that they need giant terror attacks to get it done. And we have all their memos and documents, and they even write editorials saying, man, a terror attack would be great for us, and 9/11 was wonderful, and John McCain's advisor says it. I mean, on and on and on. It's all they wish and hope and pray for. People say, why would they do that? Why would they stage a terror attack on their own people? To get us to submit to tyranny here, no-bid contracts, wars of aggression, to dominate us, to scare us into submission. It's the oldest trick in the book. Problem, reaction, solution. Why did Hitler firebomb his own Reichstag? Why did he attack Gliwice on the Polish border? Have a staged attack on their own military base to blame it on Poland? Because he needed to get the Germans behind attacking Poland. The Germans thought Poland attacked them. Now the public's so dumbed down, they just have U.S. forces attack Russians and then just say Russia attacked them, even though it's admitted it isn't true, because the public can't read a newspaper article.
Oh, man. We have got to expose government-sponsored terror like our lives and futures depend on it, because it does. And I want you to start your engines. Right now with Truth Rising, go download it, burn it on disk, burn it on CD, give it to whoever you want, a bunch of different formats and qualities of it. I mean, it looks great. Activist tool. Just go in there, burn copies, watch it. It's so easy. If you remember, you just click and watch it, and you can. We've got point-and-click things to burn it on disk, and it's just so simple, okay? Listen, I'm a dead man if we don't turn this around. A lot of you are going to be living hell slaves and dead if you don't beat this. I mean, this is the real deal. This is full commitment. And, all right, I'm going to shut up about it. Fabled Enemies available right now. Let's go to Rusty in Arkansas. You're on the air worldwide.
Hey, Alex.
Hi.
How's it going today?
It's just, you know, the reality and the magnitude of the danger the world is in by the elite. It just keeps hitting me stronger each and every day.
Well, everybody just out there listening, just please continue to pray for Alex and all his great guests that he has on. It's a blessing to hear him and hear his guests speak as well. I just want to tell you, Alex, just to keep up the faith and hang in there, brother, and we're going to keep praying for you and keep doing what we can do for you and do for our nation and ourselves.
Well, the prayers are the best thing you can do for all of us in this fight against tyranny. And even against our enemies, that somehow they have some pink part of their heart left that isn't black as night, and then more generals and people in government will say no, as they have been. But prayer is real. It's powerful. And I covet those. I need those. And there's no doubt I wouldn't have gone as far as I've gone or even be alive today, or I would be in prison right now if it wasn't for your prayers. And I can feel them.
Well, I guarantee you, I'm one of those out here praying for you. I do a lot. You and Tex both, and your other guests as well. When do you think you might have Tex back on?
You know, Tex is busy, always writing books and things, and we flog him into coming on. We had him on like 3 times in the last month.
Oh,
and I was on his show. We taped it yesterday.
Good, good, good.
But I think that's on this weekend or next weekend with his once-a-week show. But I'm going to have Tex back for you.
Cool. I was just going to say, you know, he talks a lot about, both sides, you know, playing against each other in this fight towards the end, and, you know, how, I don't know if you've ever heard of Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book, Synagogue of Satan. He talks about the same thing and how both sides are manipulated. How do you feel about that? I've heard you talk about one side, and I've heard you talk about the other side, and how, government-sponsored terror, you know, all these things, and I'm with you 100%. I mean, you're the one I've learned all these things about, but I just wonder how you feel about both sides being propped up, because we know who they're propped up by, the evil one there, but what do you feel about that? I mean,
well, both sides, there's more than two sides. There's a whole bunch of different factions, but it's like Russian dolls, you know, with the little bitty one, then a little bit bigger one, then a little bit bigger, and then a medium, and then a large, and a super large, and a huge one. It's like a whole bunch of pyramids that nexus up together into one larger pyramid. It's a bunch of pyramids that fit into a pyramid, a need-to-know compartmentalized system. And it's just bottom line, evil people combining forces together to bring in world government and greater power for themselves. And we're exposing all their programs and all their operations and everything they stand for. Whatever the New World Order's for, we're against it. They're for open borders, we're against it. They're for vaccines, we're against it. And then you go and look at what those things are. They're for gun control, we're against it. You know, they're for disarming the people, we're against it. They're for global government, we're against it. It's really pretty simple. We're just, you know, we're against the New World Order. I appreciate your call. John in New Hampshire, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for taking my call. Just to add to that, I think it's amazing. I manage a finance company, and we have your show playing every day for 4 hours, every single day. And I've woken up 5 people in my branch, and people are really upset. I was getting my oil changed the other day, and Fox News had their propaganda running, and they were actually talking about how Barack Obama was talking about putting air in your tires and all this stuff, and I just started talking to people. There were 7 or 8 people in there, and we were talking about everything under the sun from 9/11, and I'm telling you, people are ticked off. And, I mean, I'm up in New Hampshire. I don't know if it's that way around the rest of the world, but I definitely see a change, you know, in the sea of public opinion. I think a lot of it has to do with this financial mess that we're in.
No, you're right. And the people now, like never before, are finding out the New World Order, government-sponsored terror, vaccines. Every activist I talk to says it's like hauling in nets of fish and the nets are busting. And that's why they want to go ahead and start World War III. That's why they want to go ahead and tear everything up and basically, excuse my French, crap all over everything and create such a smoke screen of death that we get back under their control. And that's what all the destabilization, all of it is while they play with our world like it's their little toy. And yep. And all I know is the government is bankrupt, is criminal, and wants to hurt us, and it's filled with all these well-meaning, compartmentalized people that don't understand it. But as they wake up, and as they get out of the compartments and see the wider picture and stop being gullible, we have some chance of coming out of this.
I was going to say, Alex, I was actually taught, and this sounds great, because, I manage a finance company, local town. I mean, I just started talking about 9/11, and I think all seven people in there were like, yeah, we don't believe Al-Qaeda carried it out. I mean, they just know the government's completely corrupt. They're complete. I mean, they're so evil.
Well, I don't want to get the Austin police chief in trouble, but behind the scenes, he's like, yeah, I saw this show. Hey, I heard that radio show. And I would ask, okay, what did I say? And he'd seen the shows, he'd listened, and I think he's coming along. Because this stuff's real, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't a game. This is your lives we're talking about here, our future. Well, that's good to hear that up in New Hampshire, you're waking folks up. Take it a step further. Start burning copies of my films, other materials. Give them to people. I want you to. It's up to you to save us, man. It is up to you, John. I appreciate your call. Lewis, Scott, Helen. And yes, is that a joke, that last caller? Do we really have a caller called Poop Possum? Okay. Jonathan Elinoff, We Are Change, popping in for about 15, 20 minutes in the next hour. Then we're going to continue with open phones. We are at the center of a national controversy. It's on Fox News, CNN, the New York Times, G. Gordon Liddy's radio show this morning. Calls are pouring in about it. And so, Rick, we'll get to you after Elinoff in about 20 minutes, if you can hold. I want to hear your story about Jerome Corsi, but I can't do it until we get to that point. Got to do this in succinct order here. He came on my show, and he said on other shows that he thinks 9/11 is suspicious. He thinks Stephen Jones' stuff needs to be researched. He is now backpedaling, reportedly, because they are really using that against him and have got clips of me that they're passing, the Obama people are passing around with Corsi on the show. And, there's no getting out of this, Corsi. We set him up at the show last night, and this morning his publicist called and said, he's not coming on today, he'll come on next week, which we knew was a put-off. She was kind of freaked out and a little bit grumpy. And I said, no, that's heat off this. And we called Corsi, and he was honest. He said, yeah, my publisher doesn't want me on right now. This is a storm of you-know-what. And they're going to try to shoot his book down now using the evil Alejandro Jones's radio show. Well, Corsi did what he did. He said what he said on this show. On other shows, he said that. They can find other clips where he said 9/11 is very suspicious. Oh, man. So, very interesting. Hey, it doesn't change the facts that are in his book about Obama. But he's messing with the Messiah, our Lord and Savior, according to some people, who think he's going to save us. So, they're very angry. Let's go back to the calls here. Go ahead and get Elinoff on, please. Let's talk to Lewis in New York, and then Scott, Helen, Richard, and others.
Hey, Mr. Jones.
Hi.
I live in Manhattan, in downtown area, in the prison detention center. It's just getting unbelievable in the World Trade Center area. I take the path to work into the city every day. And when I get on the PATH train now, I have military, I guess National Guard, with these huge guns and dogs everywhere, and it's, like, incredible. And
that's going to be nationwide, as we told you. I saw the head of Homeland Security Ridge said about 5 years ago, everywhere will be like that, citizen squads being frisked, just hell on earth in the name of your safety, and their bosses are the terrorists.
And another thing, about 2 days ago, I was watching a C-SPAN, and I've come to the realization I can't even watch that channel anymore because it's just, what happened to that channel?
Fox News bought control of it.
Unbelievable. They had this guy on, there was an American Enterprise Institute conference, I believe, and they were talking about the Russia-Georgia incident, and you had on this troll, I believe his name was Ralph Peters. Have you ever heard of this guy?
Yes.
Oh, my God, this guy was just incredible. Nothing but lies coming out of his mouth, spewing, foaming at the mouth, nothing positive coming out of this man's mouth. And
Russia attacked Georgia, we need to attack them.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I was wondering if there was any way possible that you can have some kind of a PDF file on your website that people can download, because I would like to give out flyers, but I don't know exactly what to put on these flyers.
We have made Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com flyers before. Just type Infowars flyer into Google.
Okay.
Or Alex Jones flyer, and you should be able to find other people have made them. We ought to have a contest for that. In fact, let's have one. The 19th, I'm going to add a contest, but I'm running out of money here, so it can't be much. $500. That's a lot of money. I'll get you a cup of coffee. For the best flyer promoting Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and the fact that 9/11 was an inside job, or a couple variants of that. $500, we'll add that to the deal.
Media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we're posting up on Infowars.com, the CBS newscast. It's one of the few things that fell through the cracks. But I'm looking at Aaron Dykes out there right now. And get from Burmese the CBS clip about the FEMA camp, and then they go in there and the police throw them out. So we can get that up on Infowars.com right now. I've been begging to have that put up since yesterday. I'm not blaming anybody. Everybody's crazy busy. Jonathan Elinoff, We Are Change, with hundreds and hundreds of members now in Denver. Well, I'm going to be meeting in person and seeing out there, and I'm told he wants to set up a screening of one of my films while I'm out there. Kind of sounds fun. Sounds like torture in another way. I just want to cover the police state, but okay, now I'm having Freudian slips. I just get sick of going to events and being the grand poobah, frankly. I want to make films. I want to fight the New World Order. I'm worried about World War III, but it is great to come together, and I do actually love it, and show films. But the point is, side issue, I'm just getting to where all I'm focused on is the New World Order and their terror attacks and how they're staging things. And it's kind of got me not even down. It's just got me where nothing matters anymore except my family and beating these bastards. I can't even enjoy cheese enchiladas last night. And I'm not even unhappy. It's more like it's hitting me more and more just how evil the leaders are, just how bad the New World Order is. It's satanic, man. I can't believe I'm living in a fruitcake land. I can't believe they get on TV and say Russia preemptively attacked Georgia out of the clear blue sky. That they lie. I mean, that is total tyranny. Of course they're stealing elections with the voting machines. Of course they're putting poison in the vaccines. I mean, folks, when you've got a government that'll get up there and lie and say that a country attacked another when they didn't, when it's 180 degrees from the truth, you got a problem. We're going to come back from break and talk to Elinoff. I've gone off on a rant here. It just keeps hitting me. Bam, 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 right in the forehead. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's really worse than I even had assessed. People think I exaggerate and embellish and freak out and paint a bad picture. Folks, I can't paint how bad it is. There's no way to tell you how crazy it is, how evil it is, how nutty it is. I mean, our criminal government blew the daylights out of Russian forces in a preemptive attack and had Georgian troops at the UN base shoot and stab and kill their other peacekeepers for the invasion. I mean, that is dastardly. But we have a public that the elite hold in such absolute contempt that they tell you
that Russia attacked him. And I know I just keep repeating that because the elite are going for broke. That's what freaks me out. I wish they'd slow down. I wish they'd back off. I mean, they got their control grid in place. They're doing all these bad things to us. They've got almost control over everything. You know, they're the elite. They own us. They do whatever they want to us. It isn't enough. Hey, let's start World War III. Hey, let's lie to everybody even more. Hey, let's bankrupt the dollar. Hey, let's have a 55% in 1 month increase in bankruptcies of homes and defaults and just everything falling apart and homeless people running around everywhere begging for money here in Austin and criminal gangs of government running around kidnapping people's kids for no reason and just all of it. I mean, I want it to stop. I want off this ride because it's like a vortex, a Coriolis going down a toilet bowl. And I'm watching the whole country just go down. And I'm watching people swirl down into the sewer line of the New World Order. And I'm like, man, just stop. Stop the ride. Stop. Why? 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 Why do elites have to kill hundreds of millions? Why are they engaged in all these wars? Why do they do all this criminal stuff? And it's why did Jeffrey Dahmer kidnap and torture teenagers? Why did Ted Bundy kidnap and torture teenagers? Why did the Stillside Strangler do what he did? Why did Charlie Manson cut the baby out of the lady? Because they like it. They like it. Well, you know what? I don't like it. I know most of us don't like it. It's time to get mad. It's time to hate these people. It's time to discredit them. And it's time to just say no, 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 no.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, Jonathan Elinoff, give us a basic breakdown on what's happening in Denver, the different groups, the provocateurs, the media talking about cyanide attacks may happen, the little FEMA holding facility they've got, what you're planning there, and then get into this infiltration successfully carried out. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're at it again. I mean, we were trying to show everyone the tyrannical government oppression as usual. Me and three of my members went to the detention camp yesterday. The video's up on Loose Change blog right now. We were not welcomed at all. They did not want us anywhere near there. They didn't want us filming. Apparently it's supposed to be a secret facility, but screw that. We went and posted the address and all the info on it. This thing is draconian. I mean, it's got a huge landing zone next to it, a big cement landing zone for helicopters. Where people can land and unload and load their cargoes and all that stuff. It's located between all these warehouses right on the railroad tracks, and it's like something out of a movie. I mean, the facility looks like something like the internment camps for the Japanese or Nazi Germany. Just it's crazy, and it's a total trip. I guess political prisoners have always been around, but I mean, this is just this is insanity at the very least. And, we walked up to it, and the cop came out, and he looked like he was ready to taser us. And, we're just trying to ask questions. He's like, get out of here. You guys get out of here. And he's waving his arms at us. And, I mean, we're not even on their property and anything. So, you know, we're trying to keep where we can be, you know, safe. And so we ended up walking around and talking to some of the people in the area, and they said, yeah, the cops came by and told us all that some stuff's going to be going on. We're bringing in some phone lines, and they have this big air conditioner, and that's it. There's basically no restrooms, and it's this huge warehouse with 5-yard by 5-yard containment cages.
By the way, the feds have built these in every city. My 1999 film, Police State 2, The Takeover, shows how they have one of these here in Austin for the Austin Police Department that the feds paid for with the barbed wire, the Constantino wire, inside the hangar. Same thing at Pier 57 out in New York City, where they put more than 2,000 people and ran buses in there to obviously make them sick. Just people defecating on the floor, chemicals all over the floor from where they parked buses for 60-something years. It was built in the 30s. That was in 2004. That's also in martial law 911. So we have been covering this. They build these all over. They use special events in cities to build these, but then they're upkept. And it's the same thing at this facility. I want to play the CBS News piece, which we do have up
on Infowars.com as the top story. And then later, we're going to play Jonathan Elanoff's clip. I got to check it for cuss words with the cop to let you see what's happening and going on. This is a CBS news crew, as we're playing this to analyze this piece. Here it is.
CBS 4 News has learned if mass arrests happen at the Democratic National Convention, those taken into custody will be jailed in a warehouse owned by the city of Denver.
Our investigator Rick Salinger discovered the location and got inside just today for an exclusive look. Protesters, Rick, not happy with the setup.
As you would imagine, Jim and Karen, they are not. This is a building filled with metal holding cells. We showed up at the facility unannounced today. The doors were wide open, and we managed to shoot for several minutes until a Denver sheriff's captain asked us to leave.
The newly created lockup is inside a warehouse on the northeast side of Denver. Inside are dozens of metal cages. They are made out of chain-link fence material and are topped by rolls of barbed wire. Our presence here was not authorized nor welcomed.
And this is a secure environment, a secured area, so we're concerned about how that's going to be utilized by people
who
potentially are...
Yeah, in America, the press can't see the prisons. Those got to be secret because the American people are the enemy. Like when Delta Force has training ops of taking over our cities, foreign troops can be there, Czechoslovakia and Ukrainian others, because they can be there to practice killing Americans. It's us, the enemy, that can't see that because the government is criminal. Back to the criminal government.
How that's going to be utilized by people who potentially are trying to be disruptive.
Let them go! Let them go!
In past conventions, mass arrests have taken place. With Denver's jails already overflowing, new space had to be created and officers trained.
Each of these fenced-in areas is about 5 yards by 5 yards. There's a lock on the door. How long those arrested will be kept here is not known.
A sign on the wall reads, "Warning, electric stun devices used in this facility." We showed our video to Adam Young and Zoe Williams, leaders of groups that plan to demonstrate during the convention.
Very bare bones and also very reminiscent of a political prisoner camp or a concentration camp.
I mean, that's how you treat cattle, and then you showed the thing where it said, you know, stun guns, and you just changed the word gun for bolt, and I mean, it's a meat processing plant.
The sheriff's department will not discuss the facility at this time.
But we want to make sure that we've got our game plan set. We want to make sure that the entire procedure is laid out. All the personnel know what they're supposed to do.
The plans were to keep this place a secret, at least for now.
The American Civil Liberties Union says it will ask the city of Denver how prisoners will get access to food and water.
Stop right there.
Telephones plus...
Stop right there. You see, the government, the local city has to keep it secret from you, the cattle, the slaves, with cattle prods. And that's what they do. I mean, we got the Denver cops on tape beating a guy, knocking his teeth out in the ground. He didn't even touch him. Just a guy on a bicycle because they wanted to beat him. And then they charged him with assault. I mean, you can hear him 15 feet away, just the head banging in the concrete. And that's it. Cattle prods, secret prisons. And the cop bumbling neurotically, obsessive compulsive about procedure. It's procedure. Everything's procedure. We do it all according to the procedure. We have the video all up on Infowars.com right now. We're going to add Elanoff's video to that. And after I've screened it, we're going to play some of that audio later before this show ends. Elanoff, continue.
So, yeah, we basically, we went down and checked out this facility in person just to see what the scoop was. And, you know, the one thing about it is Denver cops, you know, out of all the cops, there's a lot of corruption in the Denver city lately.
No.
Police force, just to say the least. And, you know, we were able to, I don't know if you saw, but we put in the video of the 9 News broadcast that two Denver cops who were undercover beat the crap out of a bicyclist.
Well, it wasn't beat the crap. They savagely tried to kill him. I mean, they're beating him for like 3-4 minutes, ramming his head. You hear it slamming like a hammer from at least 15 feet away with the camera person?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so those images are basically... You know, that's my worry of what's going to happen with the way Denver's going to deal with this stuff. You know, they're going to be rounding up innocent people. You know, these mass arrests, they never catch, first and foremost, they don't catch anybody who's causing trouble. Those people go down there, know what they're doing, and they're 9 times out of 10, they're a cop. That's first and foremost. Second thing is, they're just going to round up everybody and mass arrest them. So, you know, seeing this camp in person and actually, you know, visually experiencing it and watching it, you know, in its construction, it's just mind-boggling because I just don't understand how they're going to be able to fill all these cages and expect people to just to go with it. And apparently, our country just isn't waking up fast enough.
Well, the bigger issue is that it's secret. We have secret jails. And then we saw them in New York in 2004 putting hoods over protesters' heads. So it's also, it's all mimicking and getting the federal training like it's Abu Ghraib. And this is how they hold them in Abu Ghraib, you see. And a lot of these guys have come back from the military. I mean, this, the country's dead. It's over. It's a cesspit of rotting evil, period. They're training everyone that the citizens are bad, and you know there's going to be demon police out provocateuring, and don't roll your eyes and tell me you don't pose as protesters and try to start fights so you can attack little old ladies with billy clubs. I got it all on video. Go ahead, Elinoff.
Yeah, so, you know, that DNC, we're prepping for everything. We're prepping for mass arrests. We're prepping for, there was recently some Middle Eastern man found in a hotel from Canada. I don't know if you heard about this story. Cyanide. He had like a bottle of cyanide or something and said it's unrelated to terrorism. It's unrelated to the DNC, but...
yeah, that means they caught one of their operatives. And remember, Richard Nixon wanted to bomb his own political conference exactly. Back in the 70s that came out. And so, and that's Frontline. I mean, that's Frontline TV on PBS. It's come out in the Nixon tapes. Wanted to stage terror attacks. And let me tell you who the terrorists are. It's the people in uniform. It's the people above them. You want to look for terror attacks, and we will be there looking for the terrorists. We're going to be watching plainclothes military. We're going to be watching plainclothes Arabs, plainclothes Israelis. We know who carries out the attacks. We know who the terrorists are.
Exactly.
Elinoff, you take over for the next few minutes. My ISDN's being brought down. You take over. Okay. Take us into break. Reconnect.
Let's do it. So if you guys go to wearechangedcolorado.org, there's a link called DNC. You can go and read what We Are Changed Colorado is going to be doing for the DNC. We want massive presence. We need help. If you guys can send money, we've got banners. We've got our own park. We've got a parade permit. Everything's available on the site. We've got flyers. We're going to be premiering Truth Rising to try to, you know, get the spirits up of all the protesters that are with us, the peaceful protesters. The other purpose of it is to kind of rile up the troops and get them ready for, you know, we just need some messages of encouragement while we're down there. There's a lot of people that are really freaked out. And, of course, we're
going to try to get delegates. Well, that's what this is for. I'm back. It's to intimidate people so they won't go. It's to scare people. If you go to protest, you get maced, you get beaten, you get put in a camp. That's what this is all about.
Exactly. So, you know, we got delegates, we got attendees. We want everyone at the DNC to be coming to see Truth Rising. We're going to be handing out flyers. We want everyone to know about our movement, how big it is, that we're not a joke, that we're legitimate. Tickets and everything are going to be for sale. They're already online at theorientaltheater.com. You can go to wearechangedcolorado.org, learn every single thing we're planning for the DNC. We need people to show up. We need help. We need the truthers to be right there with us.
All right, Jonathan Elinoff, We Are Changed Colorado, hundreds and hundreds of members, our real tribbers. I'm going to give you his website and a lot more on the other side. And I want to talk about this video. I've now watched it with the cop yelling at him. How dare you, you slave, try to come out to a secret camp? You're a slave!
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
John and Elvinoff, We Are Change Colorado, confronting the secret FEMA camp operators. Just trying to videotape it being screamed at, is up on Infowars.com right now with the local CBS one as well. You know, I love how they politely walk over and the cops yell at them, but when they see a big news camera, they all grovel but still say you got to leave. Hey, police, have you not figured out now that a small camera is just as powerful as a big one? In fact, it's usually more powerful because it's going on YouTube internationally, not just some local newscast. Okay, it's real simple. And I'm glad I'm going to Denver now because I'm going to that camp and I don't care if these bastards tase me, torture me, kill me. I'm an American. I support liberty and freedom and your new world order is going to be defeated. You understand, you bastards. You're not taking us to FEMA camps. You're not having your way with us. We're going to save this country, you pieces of crap. Jonathan Elinoff, what was it like being screamed at in America for going to a warehouse facility? You're not even on its property and they're yelling at you.
it's pretty twisted, man. I mean, look, this country's been going down the drain into a tyrannical nightmare for 10 years. I've been watching it the entire time. And just seeing these camps, you know, boils my blood, you know. The whole week of the DNC, I forgot to mention this, we're going to be streaming, by the way, live footage. Luke and I have set this up. So, you know, if people check this out, we're going to have cameras on that camp. We're going to have cameras at all the protests. We're going to have cameras on the DNC. So, you know, I'm ready for anything. I'm a peaceful person. I don't care if they arrest me. If they do, they'd be doing an American tragedy, because the reality of the fact is none of this is justified. It hasn't been justified. It's never been justified. I can't give you any examples in history where anything even close to this has been justified. I don't know what's going on with people out. Alex,
well, it wasn't justified to shoot protesters at Penn State. They don't want us doing it. This is the punishment. We're going to cattle prod you. We're going to tear gas you. We're going to microwave gun you. You don't protest. You let us destroy America. You let us attack Russia. Now shut up and be our slaves.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, this is pure tyrannical oppression. I mean, you know, I don't think any dictators actually expressed this much much oppressive regime. I mean, nobody can compare to this. You know, I mean, China's bad. You know, I've seen some bad countries, but I don't think anything's as bad as what's going on in the States right now. And what's worse about it is we don't have people waking up to this. We need to get out there. We need to wake people up. You know, we're out there flying. We're out there waking people up. And, you know, every now and then we get people joining us. But we need masses. We need groves. We need waves of people, you know, going to their government, going to the, you know, hand, let them know. We know 9/11 was an inside job. We know if you don't uncover
we know you're setting up a police state in the name of fighting terrorism. That's
exactly.
All aimed and directed at us. We know you call the American people terrorists in the NORTHCOM documents. We are the enemy. NORTHCOM has declared the American people are in a theater of operations. We are an enemy, to milk cow, to be sucked and bled and fondled by these pieces of filth. Period.
Exactly.
Period.
Exactly. Yeah, we're, I just can't even begin to express my frustration, Alex. I mean, this is just insanity. So, yeah, you know, and the thing is, you know, we're going to expose any corruption we can. You know, We Are Change Colorado has been doing a campaign.
You've made national news. You've made the Denver Post exposing groups that were planning to provocateur,
exactly,
being funded by major foundations.
Absolutely. And we need to encourage and tell everyone to arm themselves with cameras. They need to know cameras protect you. Get a camera. They're cheap these days. You get an HD camera for under $100. Everyone needs to have them on them all the time. You never know when you're going to catch something.
And when you're in one of these really danger zones like the DNC FEMA camp drill, that's all it is, you need to stagger. Have your people spread out about 50 yards apart so that you can, if you see the cops come up and start accosting one of your people, don't go up. Step aside in the shadows. We're going to send them to prison. Let's see them commit crimes. Let's get them on tape. Let's defeat evil. Go ahead.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, we're ready to pursue these people legally, criminally. The two cops that beat up that bicyclist, you know, right now they said it's under investigation by the Denver police. They're not going to do anything. They haven't done anything. You know,
yeah, describe what happens there. This guy does nothing, and they literally try to murder him.
Yeah, he's riding by on his bike, and some undercover cop, you have to keep in mind, this is just a guy in regular clothes. He cusses at him and threatens him and says, hey, nice running the red light, and calls him some names and stuff. And apparently just beats the crap out of him, jumps on him. Another undercover cop comes over. They start kicking him in the head and kneeing him and uppercutting him, throwing him on the ground, yelling, we're cops, you piece of crap, and kicking him.
We're the kings. We're the gods. You're nothing. You exist to serve me, you scum. You exist for me. You exist for me to feed on, you piece of trash. They just take his head and just start ramming it in the concrete going, oh, yes, I hate America. Oh, it's so good to kill America. Oh, it's so good.
Look at your women crying, look at your young men dying, the way they've always done before.
Jonathan Ellenoff, We Are Change, Colorado. Jonathan, tell folks how long ago you started your We Are Change chapter to expose the New World Order 9/11, and how many members you've got.
We've been doing this for about just a little over a year. We got over 450 members right now. We have people up in we have people in Pueblo, we have people in Colorado Springs, Grand Junction, that can't make it to our events. They're trying to start their own chapters now. They're very small in terms of their size, but you know, we're getting really big out here. The Loose Change events that we did for Burmese, Rowe, and Avery were a huge success. We had 1,600 people show up to those. And we actually just had Buddy Moore in the paper today, one of our We Are Change members, with big his big float of the two World Trade Center replicas that are actually going to be at our event. He was driving around Denver and what brought down Building 7. And, you know, we've got a massive front here in Denver. And
it's simple. You know, the terrorists are in control of the security apparatus. They staged the attacks so they could build camps, take our First Amendment, federalize police. We need to reach out to the good police and mayors and people. But overall, this is pure evil. And you guys are like white blood cells. We all are fighting the infection. Think about the magnitude of this. Think about how just We Are Change Denver's been in the Denver Post, a bunch of other papers, actively exposing provocateur groups that were planning to cause crises. I mean, we are there stopping it. And I want to tell the Fed something. You know it, you monkeys, claiming you're going to be there watching us, as you have, and we've been told that, to make sure we don't do something. Yeah, jackasses. We know, and you know who the real terrorists are. We're going to be there watching you. So don't release cyanide. Don't blow anything up, because there's a good chance there's going to be hundreds of 9/11 truthers. We Are Change people conservatively there. We need thousands of folks with video cameras watching you, terrorists, murderers. Anything else, Jonathan Ellenoff?
We're going to be premiering the new We Are Change site as well that week. We got, again, we're going to be streaming. We need everyone to come out. We need as much help as we can. We need supplies. We need signs. We need banners. We're trying to really get this thing huge. We want a massive presence at the DNC. So if anyone knows anyone coming out here, send them our information. Go to wearechangecolorado.org. Information is right there for the DNC. We need help. We need people to be there with us.
Absolutely. It just makes me so mad to see them taking this country down and bringing us into total police state. Oh, my God. It's just, and folks, they want it to hurt the average people, to suck off of you. So when they grab your kids or grab your pension funds, you can't do anything. They'll just gun you down the street and do high fives and take steroids and drink whiskey. And I'm not putting up with it anymore, ladies and gentlemen, and neither is Jonathan Ellenoff. Fire out the We Are Change website.
WeAreChangeColorado.org. They can get all our information right there.
All right. Well, I'm going to be getting in Sunday. And I know you guys have got some permits and things are going to be helping us out. And so you're really a big help to us, Jonathan. We hope to be a big help to you. And we just appreciate everything that you guys are doing. God bless you.
Right on. Take it easy.
Take care, buddy. All right, ladies and gentlemen. I know I got a lot of callers here, and I got some other news I want to cover. Did you ever get that Dr. Corsi from my radio show clip that the New York Times has got? Yeah, play the second clip from the New York Times, the one where they play the full audio without the guy making the clown noises in the background they put on the YouTube video. Go ahead and play the long clip now, and we'll just introduce the controversy that has erupted over this. Documents, a very easy read, very well done. Again, available at Infowars.com. In closing, Dr. Corsi, 9/11, you said you've been investigating it. You've been investigating it for over a year now. You say you're really starting to question...
Yeah.
The official story. This is a big deal because you're very respected in the conservative community out there, and of course, wider than that. Tell us why you smell a rat.
Well, I'm going to come out with a story I think is going to be earth-shaking, and that is from Stephen Jones, the physicist from BYU who's been dismissed. Well, he's now gotten samples of the World Trade Center dust, and he's done a spectrographic analysis of it and also analysis under electron microscopes. And he's demonstrated that the dust has formed these spheres, these iron spheres, together with aluminum and silicate spheres, that can only be formed under extremely high temperatures. And I know enough about the science to know he's right. The fire from jet fuel does not burn hot enough to produce the physical evidence that he's produced. Now, that means that the government's official explanation that the the building collapse occurred from the weakening of the iron from the jet fuel fire. Fine, but it does not explain why we have these spheres, microscopic spheres, in the dust that indicate the temperatures were much higher than a jet fuel could ever have created. So when you've got science that the hypothesis doesn't explain evidence, then the hypothesis doesn't stand anymore. It doesn't mean there's a new hypothesis you validated. It just means the government's explanation of the jet fuel fire is not a sufficient explanation to explain the evidence of these spheres, these microscopic spheres that Stephen Jones has detected and proved exist within WTC dust. And
we also have
validated by the U.S. Geological Service.
Yes, with the sulfidation of the beams. We also have them cut in one story and two story neat little pieces with these 45 degree angle slices.
To me, Alex, what's so damaging here is that there's scientific evidence in the dust of the World Trade Center debris that could not be produced by the heat of the fire.
Yeah.
That the official explanation says is the cause.
What about the video from all the different newscasts, too, of this?
Got them all. All those things are going to be...
Those
are next steps. See, in attacking these things, first, scientifically, I say to the 9/11 Commission, what's your hypothesis? And they say, jet fuel fire caused the steel to melt. And I'm saying, well, okay, fine. Then I look at this dust, and I say, here's spheres in here. Now, these spheres... microscopic spheres, from molybdenum spheres, iron oxide spheres, they cannot be produced by a fire that burns at the temperature of jet fuel. So how do these get here? And there is no answer from the hypothesis from the official commission.
Yes, all right,
their hypothesis is wrong.
All right. Of course, now it goes on, and it's up on PrisonPlanet.com in an article Paul Watson did, Obama fanatics slam author for questioning 9/11. Well, wait a minute. I thought you guys thought George Bush was bad and everything. See, now the liberals are attacking because it's the establishment circling the wagons. Establishment phonies, New York Times attempt to stoke feigned controversy over Corey's skepticism of official story, seemingly unaware that his doubts are shared by the majority of Americans. I'm going to read this article later, but I want to go to a caller, Rick in Iowa, who said he heard Corey. Is he still there? He's been holding an hour. Good. I appreciate that, Rick. Who heard him on Liddy this morning, backpedaling reportedly. What I can confirm, and I can't confirm this, I mean, I believe Rick, was that Corsi said he's got to go on Fox and answer this today. Fox is reportedly already reporting on it. We know the New York Times has twice. We know yesterday and today. We know that a bunch of other publications and people are reporting on it, freaking out over it. But the good news is the New York Times leaked and linked to that audio so people can actually hear the evidence and the science. But they're trying to skewer his book now that I've scanned over. It's accurate info about Barack Obama. We don't have a dog in this fight. They're both bad. The point is we had him on as a guest because it's important and big news, and you can see now it's number one on the New York Times bestseller list, Obama Nation. So I wanted to get this little piece of intel from Rick in Iowa. He said he heard him on the G-Man, G. Gordon Liddy's show today. So tell us about that, Rick.
Yeah, I was listening to the show, and he was going on about Jerome Corsi's book, and they had a caller that called in, and he made a comment, and then he makes the comment that G. Gordon Liddy know that Dr. Corsi was part of the 9/11 truth movement, and naturally he said he didn't know that, and his producer said no, that he didn't know that, and Liddy had just gotten into one of his things where he made such a great reference to Jerome's book about how much research that he does. Well, then just a few minutes later, they went ahead and called him. And then I heard the call, and when he called in, he talked about being on your show. He talked about Stephen Jones. But he said that he was not part of the 9/11 truth movement and that he believed the 9/11 commission entirely, and that, that the 19 hijackers are the ones that pulled this off, and that's the way it was. And you could tell that he was definitely parsing his words very well. And if people want to listen, they podcast that show. It's radioamerica.org. and it would be in the second hour right towards the very end.
We need our great YouTube brigades, Enough Respect, Gatekeeper Invasion, just all the other great folks at the Alex Jones channel, which is not my channel. It's a great guy that does it. We need you to go get that Liddy clip and then play the clip you just heard us covering. It's up on, there's a link to the New York Times story in our PrisonPlanet.com story. You can find the unedited audio and then post it right after. And don't even make comments. Just say, you know, it's up to you to make your mind up. And I'd put a link to then Stephen Jones's peer-reviewed paper. It's now peer-reviewed. That was about a year ago that, of course, he said that on the show.
Yeah, he talked about Stephen Jones. He said he wasn't quite 100% sure. And then he even had went on to say that he had written an article, but that article was never published. And so I don't know what happened.
Which is more news. He said he was going to write an article here. He wrote it then, if he said that, and WorldNet Daily wouldn't publish it.
Yeah, he said it was never published, but he didn't say that they wouldn't publish it. He just said it was never published. And I just kind of thought, you know, this is kind of a little bit like backpedaling, but I understand there's a lot of pressure being put on the man. He's got a best-selling book out there. And I guess this initial attack came from Bill O'Reilly. He put him on his pinhead report for some of the things that he'd said.
Yeah, we're getting all sorts of calls about it being on Fox today and yesterday and the New York Times that broke it yesterday. And you want to see the mindless comments on the New York Times comment section on the story. People ought to go into that story. There's links to it in the Obama Fanatic Slam author for questioning 9/11. We ought to all go in there right now and run an attack on them in the info war and with the truth and post Infowars.com links, post links to Terror Storm, post links to Stephen Jones's presentations he's done when he first broke it a year ago in April here in Austin, a year and a half ago, and just totally hit him with the facts there at that New York Times story that's getting so much traffic right now. And people should also get our story, Obama Fanatic Slam Author, for questioning 9/11 truth. Anything else you want to add there, Rick?
No, that's all I had to say, and keep up the good work.
What was the G-Man saying? My Corvette is upset. Crass commercial messages. Hmm? I mean, what was he saying whenever his idol Corsi was on?
He was just saying that he knew that, that he definitely could not have been a part of that when he got that information. And I mean, in kind of a way, you know, he first apologized for calling him up at such short notice. He was busy, and Dr. Corsi said that he always had time for the G-Man.
I will always have time for the G-Man.
Yeah, that's what he said, and I just thought, you know, this doesn't sound like the guy that I've heard on your show, on the Power Hour, on Dr. Stan Monteith's show, and several other, you know, of the what they would call the alternative radio stations.
All right, thank you. I can tell you that we talked to Corsi this morning, and he said that his publisher was going ape over this and that he's got a lot of heat over it and that he was not going to do the show at this time, that they had asked him not to do it. And so that's fine. And he knows where the big audience is. He knows where the active people are. And I'm sure he's a smart guy. He has pangs of guilt not fully joining the rebellion against tyranny. And you know, a lot of people, like John in Ohio, has called in a lot saying Corsi talks out of both sides of his mouth. I think this is an example of that, if indeed I can hear the piece. I'm not doubting you, but you sound legitimate, but I want to make sure that's happened first. But we'll probably see him. I bet it's already on YouTube. I bet he's already been on Fox backpedaling. Hey, look, there's no backpedaling out of this. It's a fact. The country's going to hell in a handbasket. The government's staging terror attacks. I mean, MSNBC just reported that Dick Cheney was planning terror attacks. And it just kind of was reported. And, most respected investigative journalist in the U.S., I heard, said he was planning to stage terror attacks and blow up our ships. It's no big deal. Dick Cheney's good. You know, it's freedom. You know, killing people's good. I mean, you know, saying Al-Qaeda did it or Iran did it, it's freedom. You know, same person we fingered for being the main operative running the operation, the commander of the operation, the center of the spider's web, the big fat black widow, Dick Robot Heart Chaining, nesting, and who pops out again wanting to stage terror attacks. I mean, you can't ignore this. You can't deny it. Oh, Alex, do you really believe Cheney was planning to stage a terror attack? It's admitted. Do I believe it? It's admitted. And all of you detractors, all the people that deny and try to debunk and lie, you're all being discredited. And you better hope we win this fight against tyranny, buddy. all of you out there, because stuff's getting serious. And you think you're on the winning team, you're not. And it's disgusting what you're part of. Oh, man. Let me just read this story from Paul Watson here. Obama fanatic slam author for questioning 9/11, prisonplanet.com, Paul Watson. Establishment phonies, New York Times, attempt to stoke feigned controversy over Corsi's skepticism of official story, seemingly unaware that his doubts are shared by the majority of Americans. An army of frenzied Barack Obama acolytes have been busy attempting to smear writer Jerome Corsi, author of Abomination, by citing his skepticism towards the official 9/11 story, seemingly ignorant of the fact that such doubts are shared by the majority of Americans. The New York Times also got in on the act with a sneering attempt to validate the attack on Corsi, which is being supported by Obama's own campaign staff. By the way, the official campaign did pick up our story about Cheney wanting to stage terror attacks that was then picked up by NBC, so they are watching us closely, and they should. We're the tip of the spear. The coordinated smear attempt is obviously born out of the concern that Corsi's 2004 book, Unfit for Command, basically sank John Kerry's presidential bid because it was the inspiration behind the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth campaign. The Times cites Corsi's appearance on the Alex Jones radio show, a forum for those who take a deeply skeptical view of the government's claims about the attacks, and says that the video is making the rounds, especially among Obama supporters. Well, it mustn't be making it very far, because as of writing, the YouTube clip has a little over 5,000 views, which is the term of, which in terms of viral status is a drop in the ocean. Yeah, viral's over a million. And you're hearing that directly from Mr. Viral Video. We had the first on the web, folks. The clip has Mr. Corsi discussing the findings of Stephen Jones, physicist and hero of the 9/11 Truth Movement, who claims to have evidence of the World Trade Center towers collapsed due to explosives inside the building, not just the planes hitting them during the attacks, reports the Times. So the good news is this is getting out. The fire from jet fuel does not burn enough to produce the physical evidence that he's proved and produced, Mr. Corsi said. So when you've got science, the hypothesis doesn't explain the evidence, then the hypothesis doesn't stand anymore. It doesn't mean that there are new hypotheses validated. It just means the government explanation of the jet fuel is not sufficient explanation to explain the evidence of these spheres, these microscopic spheres that Stephen Jones has proven existed in the WTC dust.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Yeah, it looks like Larry King Live. Bill O'Reilly and others talked about it last night. Oh, man. Boy, of course he is in deep water for coming on Alex Jones' show. Continuing, the New York Times quoted Corsi on my radio show. The New York Times simply reprints Corsi's quotes verbatim as if the words alone are enough to shame him. Every day we learn something new that completely undercuts Corsi's credibility, said Tommy Vitter, an Obama spokesman, in light of Mr. Corsi's remarks about 9/11. Here's a news flash from the New York Times and the mindless Obama cult members who think that questioning 9/11 is controversial and undercuts credibility. Skepticism of the official 9/11 story is shared by the majority of Americans, according to the official New York Times own poll on the subject. And we have a link to that. So this is what you need to be giving Obama bots. In fact, it undercuts Obama's credibility, in particular his meaningless soundbite platitude, "Stand for Change," that he and his minions would so aggressively support an independent position on 9/11 that even the government-appointed 9/11 Commission disbelieved. That's right, even the 9/11 Commission says the government lied and the commission was a fraud. But, oh, you can't have Corsi say that. You can't have us say that. It's insane. See, now it's going to be anti-Democrat to question 9/11, you see. An October 2006 CBS New York Times poll found that there was only 16% of Americans thought the U.S. government was telling the truth about 9/11. Did you hear that? That's a New York Times poll. A further 53% thought the White House was hiding something, and 28% said they were mostly lying. So, see, the vast majority doesn't believe it. 80-plus percent don't believe them. That's 81% who do not trust the official version of events, and 16 who do, with a further 3% that don't know category. In case Obama's campaign and its delirious followers are not too smart with their math, 16% is not a majority. 81% is fairly clear indication of where the majority of Americans stand with regard to the official 9/11 story. There's a whole bunch of polls that show 80, 82, 84. Those numbers just keep popping up. There's a bunch of polls that show 50-plus percent believe the government did it. Okay? They keep using a four-year-old poll about 36% thinking they did it. It goes on. So Obama supporters and campaigner managers, please stop it already with the feigned controversy and the hot air about Corsi's questioning 9/11. He's simply voicing doubt shared by the majority of Americans, and as such, attempting to smear him on this issue is the height of stupidity. Now go back to chanting your mindless, empty slogans about change while attacking anyone who questions the status quo you seem so rabidly eager to protect. Okay? That is the PrisonPlanet.com story, and we want everybody who is out there to get this and get it out to people in their area. It is very, very important. Helen in Florida, thanks for holding her on the air.
Yes, for an hour I've been trying to, of course, you're exactly right. In the Discovery Channel a few years ago, they said the hottest the fuel can get for jet fuel is 1,400 degrees, and then the necessary to achieve 2,400 degrees, 1,000 degrees hotter, for the steel to even begin melting. That's an impossibility. And then the other point, too, if everybody who believes, you know, in patriotism, all this massive paradigm of invisible patriots, went to the voting polls and wrote in Dr. Ron Paul, could they change it that much if there's such a percentage? Because I think he would win.
Continue.
Oh, and that's the point. And I just also thought, too, if in 1953, John Swinton, former editor of the New York Times, said to his fellow journalists, a secret meeting which got out, and I heard it once on Coast to Coast overnight, a quotation, he said, there's never been at this time of the world in America such a thing as an independent press. You and I both know the business of the journalists to destroy, to pervert the truth, to just to lie outright. And
you said it, Helen. We got a break. We'll be right back. So much happening with Russia. Russia threatening to nuke areas of Western and Eastern Europe as U.S. military forces are brought in, anti-missile defense systems, which are really preemptive systems so they can launch sneak attacks on Russia and shoot down their missiles. That's what the Pentagon says they're for. They tell the scum cattle that it's not for that, and the scum cattle love it and roll around like slaves and beg to have their heads chopped off. That's basically how it works. We're talking about the economy, what's developing, what's happening with Russia, all the big developments, and your phone calls this hour with Bob Chapman, the international forecaster. Bob, good to have you here with us today.
Well, thank you. Nice to be back again.
Okay, let's get into Russia first, then I want to get into the economy. But major escalations, as you know.
I think that, first of all, the Western powers, I think they made a terrible mistake. I think that they thought that Russia would back off. And Russia didn't do that. And now we have them, Russia, in Georgia. We have a fleet that's probably the largest since we invaded Iraq in that region, so to speak. And that has a great possibility of becoming larger, and it also has created another Cold War. They created this situation to let Russia know that they really didn't want to be friends with them. I think it's going to cause real consternation in nations that haven't committed themselves to the missile plan. Poland did here the other day, and Czechoslovakia did. So Russian missiles will be targeting their facilities in their country. And I think Kosovo could be in for a pretty wild time as well. And so I think it's a major escalation. Whether we'll have the situation blow up any further in Georgia remains to be seen, but I don't think so, at least not at this time.
Keep walking us through it. I mean, there's been so many different developments, so many facets to this. Why do you think the globalists some are saying that they wanted Russia to come in and assess that they would, and wanted that to kind of herald to the dull population of the world who kind of halfway watches that, oh, Russia attacked an innocent country, we're now at war with Russia, we've got to expand military presence in the region. But you're saying you don't think that's what it is. You thought it was just a test to go grab some land and see if they can further encircle Russia?
Not only that, I also believe that this is a diversion. When you see major markets like commodities and gold and silver, platinum, palladium come down so hard, and you see terrible news and the stock market stays up, and you see a dollar climbing from, 71, 77 to 78 and a pinch, you know that this whole thing was coordinated. And so I think they're expecting further trouble. And I don't think it's going to go away. I think after the election, if this thing continues to go on the way it is, you might also look forward to the possibility of a draft. With the economy turning down and all those young people running around looking for jobs, it would be the perfect time to take those young ladies and those young men and put them to work over there killing people.
Bob Chapman, the international forecaster, let's flesh this out on the other side and then look at the economy, the predatory economy, where every market, every manufacturing base is plunging, record bankruptcies, but Walmart 70% increased profit. How the vampires get even more powerful during this phase.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Bob Chapman is our guest. It's driving me crazy. Cough button's going out on this board. I've got to get this fixed. It's driving me completely insane here. Bob Chapman is our guest for the rest of the hour. I'm going to be taking your calls coming up in the next segment for the last 40 minutes of the show. But for the next 12 minutes in this segment, I want to give Bob Chapman the floor to talk about whatever he wants. I've got a few questions, though. Where do you see this, fighting against the Russians, working in intelligence before, then in finance, in brokerage, having one of the largest newsletters in the world financially, making some of the most accurate predictions over the long term of anybody out there? You have some skill at this. Where do you see this going? Because either way, it's now escalating. Blockades of the Black Sea, Poland. We also have Ukraine threatening to start new fights in border regions with ethnic Russians, similar to South Ossetia and Abkhazia. So we see basically the activation of what PNAC talked about. Where do you see that going? And then getting into economics, the predatory economy, we've got all this propaganda, and they're trying to pump the dollar up right now and drive down commodities. What do you see in the short term and then the midterm and long term? Because the market fundamentals are worse than ever. 55% increase in defaults and foreclosures on houses. Massive increase record in bankruptcies. Every major industry publishing horrible downturns, slowing growth or losses. Meanwhile, Walmart, 17% increase because, again, they're predatory. They've got the slave camps in China. They can bring it in even cheaper. That's always been their job, even to go into a city and sell things below cost till they bankrupt everybody, then they jack them up. So I see Walmart as a microcosm, even though it's the biggest corporation in the world publicly. I see it as a microcosm
because that's what the globalists do. Globalism makes it bad for the people, but always good for these few consolidated, horizontally integrated systems. And we're going to see more of that, the big sucking sound. And then Walmart admits then when everything finally implodes, they're going to be the FEMA camps, the forced inoculation centers. Walmart admits this. We told people 5 years before it broke, 3 years ago. We were telling people back in 2000 Walmart was involved in bizarre continuity of government. Then it all came out in news. So you see Walmart, and of course it turned out mainstream news, Target is really a defense establishment front on testing human behaviorism, and they sell most of the face scanning cameras and cop training systems. Target's like some weird government front conglomerate. That's now coming out. I mean, we're now realizing it's total military-industrial takeover all around us. They are absorbing the country right now. Bob, that's a long-winded, complex question about finishing up on the geopolitical ramifications of the Russian acceleration of conflict, them threatening to nuke us if we continue to move weapons in against them, and I say we, the globalists that have captured us and have hijacked us and using us as their Hessian slaves, versus that economic combination I was just discussing.
Well, the brush fire wars, as they're called, will continue to escalate as the economic and financial environment deteriorates, and there the illuminists behind the scenes are trying to hold this thing together as long as possible so that they can put their new plans in place so that they can divert people's attention. And people would be more concerned about whether they have a job or whether they're going to eat than they would, you know, what's going on overseas. And so I think that you're going to have this, now that they've made the decision, the powers behind government in the Western world, that they're going to have a third world war. And that's probably the reason that they've sent another couple of task force over there to the Persian Gulf and other areas over there. And again, if you go back to 2000, 2001, we had the same situation. The market had collapsed. They hadn't been able to get the real estate fiasco underway that quickly. And so what did they do? They had 9/11, and then they had Iraq to divert people's attention. And while they were doing that, they did what they were going to do in the real estate industry. Of course, that's what we're paying for now. One of the things that we probably won't see is Russian troops in the United States, at least in a military manner. I understand some of them are training over here. Is that correct, Alex?
Continue, Bob.
I said, do they have Russian troops training in the United States?
Not anymore, no. It's all Czechoslovakian, Czech Republic. It's all Ukrainian. Russians had been in some exchange programs, but that really stopped back during the 80s. And if you see who the big enforcers are going to be inside the U.S., who they've been training to put us in FEMA camps and the drills we videotaped and documents that have been declassified and admitted, they are saying that they are going to use Czech Republic and Dutch, and I've seen this at urban warfare events I've been at, that they're going to use French, that they're going to use Polish. Well, here's an example. You saw those articles a few years ago about Ford hiring literally tens of thousands of Poles, bringing them in on work visas and firing whole plants, and then having the Poles live 10 guys to a one-room apartment because they would do it, and then, you know, paying them $10 an hour instead of $20 an hour and riding them in buses in like slaves. And so literally, Eastern Europe, former Eastern Europe, former Eastern Bloc, is going to be used really as the vanguard to rule over not just the Russians, but us. They're the kind of the pet puppies.
Well, that could well be in the future. But
Bob, I'm going to be honest with you. I've got some internet issues going on here, so I'm halfway listening to you in a conference call while you're going. Go for it.
The news economically is just dreadful. You've gone over some of the high points. The losses that are going to be absorbed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which is the public now, are probably going to be over $2 trillion. The losses that are being taken in the auction securities are probably going to be in the hundreds of billions of dollars. These brokerage firms are finally paying people their money back. And when all is said and done, it's going to be an awful lot more money that they're going to have to raise in order to balance their balance sheet, so to speak. And where that money will come from, I don't know. But I do know even if they get the money, they're going to lose perhaps control of their companies, companies like Merrill Lynch, et cetera. And so the credit crisis is worse now than it was before. And so now we switch back to Russia and what they were kind of drawn into, and that is natural for the people behind the scenes to go and do something like this, just like they did in Iraq, to get investors and other people focused on not the economic problems, but the problems that might get them killed. And I think it's going to spread. If you go back to history into the 1500s, every time the European rulers wanted to have a war, they had one on demand because they had balkanized countries.
Well, they now, you're absolutely right, there are famous letters from one king to another king who'd be his first cousin in France, or vice versa, or the king of France to Spain, or the king of the Low Countries to Spain, saying our people are really getting uppity, there's problems, we've got too many merchants, they're getting too wealthy, they're rioting, they're not going along with our local authorities, we need you to come and attack us, we need to go ahead and have a war. And so these cousins would be having these wars with each other, but really it was a war against the population.
Exactly.
And it's the same thing, and that's history, folks. That's why they say those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. You read history, and it is just unbelievable, the stuff that went on, the things that happened. And you think it's complex and Byzantine back then. Now, it's much more complex. But I really respect your opinion and your analysis. You really think Zbigniew Brzezinski, who I agree is one of the prime planners in this, thought the Russians would back off because, why, they let them take Serbia and then last year totally carve off Kosovo for the Muslims? Why? Because they were letting them move troops and training into, what, eight different former Eastern Bloc nations? I mean, if they miscalculated and this isn't a way to suck Russia in and demonize them, that's good news. I mean, are you sure of that?
It's only an opinion. I mean, I believe that this was set up this way. They want another war, just like those princes you talked about. And by golly, they're going to have one. And you extended it by talking about troops being trained in the United States from Poland and Czechoslovakia and Ukraine, etc. And another element here is the expansion of NATO. What they really want to do at NATO is turn it into a one-world army that is able to summarily and go and attack if another place, if they think that that place is going to cause them a problem.
And they said, 7 years ago, that was the new policy, we'll preemptively nuke you. We will attack. We are now global. And I had Professor Chasadosky on in the first hour. He was reading official declassified NATO plans saying, we will preemptively nuke Russia or whoever we want. We want to escalate into a full war. I mean, these are criminal statements. Even Hitler didn't make his plan for Barbarossa public. Why are they doing that, Bob?
Well, I think it's to, if nothing else, to for those who do think and read,
terrorize,
to put some terror into them.
Yep.
I think they're trying to scare people into healing to what they want them to do. In other words, you can either go along with our program, or we're going to have these horrific wars, and millions of people are going to get killed, so you better, you know, shut up and do what we tell you to do.
Man, I mean, arrogant psychopaths.
But they are telegraphing this stuff. You're right. I mean, you know, because I do what I do.
Stay there, Bob. Stay there. Got a break. Come back. We'll talk about it. The elitist playing God. Aren't going to stop. You know, you deal with this in your life all the time. In school, I remember being 11 years old, bullies beating me up on the way home from the school bus. I remember going to my dad, and I'd go home to mommy and cry a little, and she'd hug me. Sir, I came home. My dad just said, how many of them? Oh, four of them. And I'm like, yeah. And, they're 14 years old, Dad. And they black both my eyes and lose one of my teeth. And he said, well, try to get away from them. But if they won't stop, just, pick up a rock or a stick and go ahead and attack them. Go after them. And you know what? It felt good that individually I beat those guys up within a year of that. It got really tough by the time I was about 12. And then over the years, a couple of those guys I put in the hospital. And I'm not, bragging or saying I'm a tough guy. I've had my ass beat really bad. You get in a fight, even some guy starts a fight with you, you go ahead and get in with him, you end up in the hospital. There's a lot of tough guys out there. Millions and millions a lot tougher than me. But you know something? You attack me, I'm going to fight you as hard as I can. And that means if you tackle me, I'm going to bite a giant bloody chunk out of you. I mean, I am not going to give up. I'm going to kick, and I'm going to stomp. And you know how bullies are, people in business that scam you and push you around, or we've all run into them in life, and then even though you've got all the cards, they will continue to push and push and push because they just can't give up. And the New World Order has got a lot of the cards, but they are just megalomaniacal. And I want to come back and take calls and get into the economy, Bob, and I know I'm babbling about stories about bullies, but these guys just, I don't think they're going to quit, Bob. I just think they are. True megalomania has set in, and I think we're in deep trouble. What do you think?
I agree with you completely. They will never give up because the consequences are so great. They will lose everything that they built up for the last 1,000 years, and they can't have that. And, there's you and I and a handful of other people crying out saying, look, this is what these people are doing. Do something about it. Help us do something about it. And it's effective, but not as effective as we'd like it to be. And so consequently, when these wars start, they have more of a hold on the public because they can say, well, look, we have this war over here, and then we have terrorism over there, and we need your kids to come and fight these people.
And they can grandstand and act like they're our saviors.
And, exactly.
And that's what you and Dr. Roberts have said separately. It's what Chasadosky said. All of our analysts from wide, ranging fields say this was a false flag. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Bastards.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know you don't get mad at this. You just coldly deal with it. You've been doing it for 60 years, Bob, 50 plus. But me, it's not even anger. I just wish I could have my life without these bastards always running around engaging in evil and then doing it in my name. They do it in America's name.
And then you work hard all your life, you amass something, and then they take it away from you. I mean, you're true slaves, if not tax slaves. Tax slaves and then some.
Well, it's worse. I mean, we are slaves.
Give up and they do it arrogantly, and they don't care what anybody thinks. And now, more than ever, they're in the open, knowing they're going to have to go for total control, because they don't have any other choice. And they know if they're unsuccessful, they're going to lose it all, because there are people like us out there who, if we survive, are going to be able to point people in the right direction and start taking down names and telling courts that these people did this, that, and the other thing. And they don't want that to happen.
Well, you're right. It is a going for broke. I would call this desperateness, all of this blustering, all of this evil. You're right. They have to go for total tyranny or they're going to lose.
And, you can thank the alternative radio and particularly the Internet for us being able to wake up an awful lot of people. I mean, when we started this thing, learning about this thing back in the early 1960s, it was very, very, very difficult to reach people. And then when you did reach them, the ratio is the same as it is today. One out of 100 would listen. Well, today we've got the Internet and we've got alternative radio, so we got a much better chance. And there are people, lots of people out there who know that there's a Council on Foreign Relations and a Bilderberger Group and an Illuminati, etc. And so progress has been made, and maybe we've made enough progress and will continue to make progress in informing the public so that when this thing comes down, the people say, no, we're not going to do that.
Well, I know this. A lot of the Bilderberg Group people laughed at me 2 years ago when we were out there bullhorning them. Most of them looked scared and freaked out, and Madeleine Albright pulled in and then raced out of the parking lot, panicked, looking completely scared. because we were bullhorning her saying, Madeleine Albright, Madeleine, we know you killed all those Iraqi children. And so that means we're getting to them. You know, the fact that they are scared. Would you call it running scared?
In some segments, yes. And she's the type who would run scared. There are others like Brzezinski and...
Stay there. Got to come back. Okay. Richard, Kevin, Tom, Dennis, Tom, and others. We're going to get to you here in about 3 or 4 minutes. Finishing up with that first issue, we were going over the Russian escalation. So these bastards in government can grandstand and for the corporate owners and transfer more of our wealth and liberties into their hands. It's all about training us to submit to each new little wave of corruption and evil. Bob, finishing up your point, then I want to briefly get your take on the predatory economy I was discussing, how as things get worse, the globalists do better, Walmart does better, all of these international systems meant to suck us dry and implode economies. Again, they're not free market. They come to destroy markets, to create monopolies, and then reduce the availability of resources. That's their official plan. That's what the fake global warming, global tax cult's about. But I want to get into that in a moment briefly. Right now, finishing up with what you were saying.
I think people like Brzezinski are not running scared. They think they can really be successful. People like Kissinger, I think he is. You said Albright panicked. It's expected. But it's hard to tell because there's so many people involved, and some will get out of the way and some won't. And it all depends on who you're dealing with, so... there's no way to qualify it. But I do know by the actions that they're taking, such as this Russian-Georgian situation and the fires that have been started in Poland and Czechoslovakia with the missile shield and now Ukraine. And this is really the culmination of what has been going on behind the scenes for several years in those countries, the Pink Revolution and that sort of thing, all of these NGOs which are set up by George Soros to divert and pervert governments. And most people don't even know about that.
Most people don't know that a missile shield up against their borders is a sneak attack system so that they, as NATO states, NATO, we read it in the first hour, says, oh no, these are anti-missile systems, so when we nuke Russia, they can't shoot back. And, I mean, that's an incredible provocation. So the Russian generals are saying it's an act of war to move those in and your armies, and now you've attacked us. We may nuke Poland and Czechoslovakia, and the U.S. says, go ahead. And it says in the NATO document that we read in the first hour, their official policy, they said, we want to provocate Russia. I mean, nothing like this has ever been put down on paper. Why are they such arrogant pieces of crap? I guess it's to antagonize the Russians itself.
Yeah, and I think it's to let us know that we better stay in our place. And what I think the Russians should do is, you know, the Western European powers are all behind this. They'll just target their major cities and see what they do about that.
Well, that's what Russia says they're doing it right now.
Yeah, well, I think they should. And they should target cities in the United States. And maybe that would make the U.S. and their counterparts back off. If they don't, well, they can start pointing their missiles, too, and we'll have a nuclear war, and half the people in the world will die, including them.
Well, I know what they're going to do. They're going to put special forces on the border with suitcase nukes. They're going to move artillery pieces that are moved around on trains that can shoot an artillery shell 200 miles into Western Europe, and there's no anti-missile system going to stop that.
That's right. And they're going to shut off gas. Natural gas to Western Europe, they supply 1/3, and those people are going to be pretty cold in the wintertime.
No, I agree. Russia doesn't have any choice, and I want the war to stop, and I want this escalation to stop. And I agree, as soon as winter comes, they ought to just turn the gas off and say, you take the missiles off our border.
Well, they pushed them in a position where they might well do that.
I want to explain something to people, folks. I have a family. Russia's done nothing. They've been shrinking. They're trying to do business. The New World Order, Russia didn't carry out the 9/11 attacks. Our government did, the criminals. They are encircling them, trying to start a fight with a gigantic Kodiak bear that's got nuclear weapons.
And that makes me mad, folks. I don't have a passcode to the FEMA bunker railway station underneath Bergstrom Air Force Base out here at the airport, underneath the Hilton over there that goes out to the mountains out here. And yes, I know people have been in there, and it used to be a SAC base, so don't laugh, you local idiots. You know, you don't even know we got two nuclear reactors in Austin because you're morons. We know what we're talking about here, and we're telling you this is dangerous, okay? This is the real world. Bob, are you getting mad?
I do all the time, but I'm old enough now that I restrain it. I used to be far more militant, just like you are, when I was younger, like your age. And you learn to have patience, and you just keep on fighting them and do the best you can with the equipment that God's given you.
Well, I mean, for you in counterintelligence against the Russians in Eastern Europe when you were in the military and then, you know, coming into business after that, what is it like to see the bad guys capturing us and using us against the Russians? I mean, what is that like psychologically?
Well, first of all, I now realize that what they were doing in the 1950s was the same thing. I mean, here the Russians were the bad guys, and we went off to spy on them. And we were very effective, and they were very effective. I guess maybe we might have had a slight edge, but it was a toss-up. And we got the same thing all over again. They're just using us, not the Russians, the people behind the scenes. And, you know, Congress, the executive office, they're all captured. They all go along with that program for the bad people. You know, we have no one to reach out to help us. We're going to help ourselves.
Well, let me expand on that. We know of the 10 or so oligarchs, 6 of them have been arrested by Putin, caught in all sorts of scams. So when the West did a deal with Russia to collapse, it was just to hand it over to the Rothschilds, and that came out in the Times of London. So now all these big banking interests have been caught running scams. They're being kicked out of Russia, and I think that's another big part of all this.
It certainly is, and I think there's two left, and they've cooperated with the Russian government, but most of the rest of them are either living in London or in Israel, and they've taken all their wealth with them. There's one that's in jail for tax fraud, and his partner, they just brought a conviction, and I can't remember his name, who had stole billions of dollars from Lukoil, which was a large oil company in Russia, and all the money was funneled into Israel, and he's living there, and they won't extradite him. I mean, what kind of a thing is that when you have a group of people who can be criminals and then go and hide and nobody can do anything about it?
Oh, man. It just...
That's not right. It's wrong. I mean, if somebody's done something wrong, like loot a company of billions of dollars, I don't see why any country in the world with presentation of evidence that so-and-so did this thing, that they wouldn't turn them over to the authorities under certain conditions.
Well, instead, they persecute nobodies who've done nothing. I mean, people think of Martha Stewart because she's on TV, a few hundred million bucks, that's chicken feed, and she dumped some of her stock, totally legal, and they put her in jail. For quote, lying.
Well, she was railroaded. And listen, that SEC, NASD, that whole governmental structure has railroaded hundreds of thousands of people.
No, I know.
And they have allowed thousands of companies to be destroyed.
All right. Yeah, it's predatory to keep the bad sons down, like you chop off, you know, when a tree has the babies grow up, you cut them down. It's basically what happens. And that's policy, too. But you can steal billions, it's okay. But dump some of your stock, they don't get you for that. They didn't convict her for that. They convicted her for misleading comments to the FBI. That's why you can't talk to the FBI. Because they will lie and say that you lied to them. And then that's some law. We only got about 2 minutes on this because I got to get to calls here in the rest of the show with you, Bob Chapman, Tom in England, and others that are holding. I want to get to them here in just a moment. But I just find it interesting that Walmart 17% profit in the last quarter while everything else is going to hell in a handbasket. That is the new world order for us, is it not?
It is, certainly is. And, you know, you talk about the monopolies that are being formed. This is the same thing that happened in the 1930s and 40s in Europe. This is pure corporatist fascism, as envisioned by a former Marxist named Benito Mussolini. And this is exactly what they're doing.
They were going to use the slave goods of China that no one could compete with.
They put more regulations, environmental regulations, taxes on the U.S., Canada, England, Europe. No controls in China. Running the stuff in here with select deals to blow out all other competition criminally, to create an oligopoly, a combine, a cartel working for this world government, now savaging our economy and absorbing the pieces, driving down the dollar, letting foreign interests buy it up. I mean, it's just totally criminal.
Well, I think when push comes to shove, it's going to go into the streets in America. And it may go in the streets in other countries as well. It's just that in America, at least still, people have weapons to defend themselves.
And I don't think the little police forces and their microwave guns are going to help them, Bob.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, you get a country where there's probably more than 50 million adult males who can handle weapons, and you're talking about 450 million weapons. That's a lot of guns. And so, and they know that. And they probably will try to take them before this whole thing blows up. And whatever you do, don't turn anything in. Bury them. Do something, but don't turn them in. You're going to need them.
Yeah, let's take a call from England first, and we'll go to Richard, Kevin, Tom, Davis, Jared, and others. Let's go ahead and go to Tom in England. Go ahead, Tom. He just dropped right as we went to him. Okay. Just then Kevin and George is next. Kevin, go ahead.
Hello, Alex.
Hi.
Oh, hey, Alex. First, I just want to say, wow, it's just great to be able to call you up like this.
Good to talk to you.
This is Kevin. This is Kevin Stokes. Hello?
Yes, Kevin. Go ahead.
Hey, I wanted to let you know, you know, I'm a fan of yours. I start off on the YouTube and now I listen to you every day, which is one reason we definitely want to make sure they don't start, controlling what we can see and hear on the Internet.
Well, they're already doing it. There's no start about it.
Yes. Yeah, that's for sure. One thing I just want to say is, look, you know, I'm an illustrator. I can illustrate just about anything if you guys need any pictures. Excuse me. One of my main questions are, is, and I understand this is a completely different subject, and I hate to even change
it. It's fine. Go ahead and ask your question, Kevin.
Okay. One thing about the suppression of information is, I mean, we all know that, like, you know, NASA is also part of the government cover-up and things like that, along with underground bases, and just being skeptical and just being, you know, what information you might can find on that, without going into theologies of, you know, what may be out there, but what they are actually covering up, along with, you know, how that may be also a piece of the New World Order puzzle.
Thanks, Kevin. I think I get your question. We know there's a giant underground government program going on since 47 with the Continuity of Government program, and we know that that there's an entire shadow government operating. Do we know everything they're doing? No. Bob Chapman?
Not at all. I do not know. That's something that they've really kept the lid on, and I haven't been able to break into it. What have you found, Alex?
Oh, it would take 10 hours to go over. I mean, it's just, is that a free society where you have a giant underground government that we know brings in the narcotics, and they've been caught doing that, and it's, we know they built all these underground bases. We know they're involved in all sorts of chemical and biological weapons production. We know they have underground railway systems all over the country since the 50s. And we know they think they're God. I mean, they have Adam and Eve bases for repopulating the earth. They have huge seed vaults. They're just running around. They get to they live. We sleep. They get to be the future. We don't. And it's just the ultimate control freak wonderland. Let's go ahead and take another call here. Tom in Oregon, you're on the air. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, Alex, I'm calling in concern with why you haven't posted any information on Dennis Kucinich's new call to sign a petition for the impeachment of President Bush. And
it's a big conspiracy. I'm out to get Dennis Kucinich, and I did it to be bad.
Pardon me? Pardon me, can you explain? Can you be more specific?
I'm evil. That's why it happened, because I'm evil and I'm bad. No, I'm being sarcastic.
We had Dennis Kucinich on a few weeks ago. We have linked to that petition. We called for people to sign the petition on at least three different shows, and there's hundreds of stories posted on the sites every day. I was griping at him earlier for not posting some CBS thing, and it turned out it was there yesterday, buried. So, I mean, it's just a few of us here. I mean, stick the camera out the window here. It's a rat hole. I'm not God, sir.
It was all over your site on the first petition. I mean, you were bringing it forward to the people, and you were making it.
But I mean, you're criticizing. Let him go. The thing is, you come on with an accusatory tone, like you found some big dirty, secret, and I don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, I can't do it all, and I'm not trying to get into some big... Bob, you know probably why I'm frustrated here. I don't know what this guy's talking about. We've been talking about his petition, we've been pushing it, and he's basically implying we're covering it up, which is asinine. It just never ends.
Well, that's the kind of thing that you have to expect that you're going to put up with when you take the positions that you do. I get in the same pickle that you do, only you get in more because of your exposure on the air. And it's something you just have to live with. Sometimes people just don't understand. People are nasty and vicious.
We've been trying to get Kucinich on the last few weeks. We have been linking to petitions. If there's some new one, send it to us. We'll post it. But why didn't you just say, hey, Alex, do you know about this new petition? Have you promoted it? And I could say, let me look, or I don't know. And the answer is, I don't know. I don't even know what you're talking about. It's like they think I'm God, too, Bob. There's this view that anybody on the radio or anybody in movies or anybody on TV or anybody in government, that we're somehow smarter than them, Bob.
Probably work harder, that's all.
I probably got 50 videos a day of police beating the living daylights out of peaceful people, and I can't even cover it all here. And I don't mean to take things out on you, caller. I get all these emails and all these message boards and all these comments. Why aren't you covering this? Why aren't you covering that? Why aren't you going over this? And then 90% of the time I have covered it, you just didn't happen to see it or come on the show when I covered it. I'm trying to take your calls.
So we're going to continue to do the best we can under the circumstances, and we don't do something that you think we should do, send an email and we'll get with it.
I guess I'll just work harder. I'll just do a better job. You know what? It's true. I'm bad.
Listen,
I'm
Alex,
evil.
You're working 18 hours a day now. I don't think that is the extension's not there.
Well, I'm being a little bit sarcastic here. Why aren't you doing this? Why? And I joked like, "Oh, I'm bad and evil," and he was like, "Yeah. Why? And it's like, "Yeah, you're bad. You're bad, man. You're trying to warn us and trying to cover all this and trying to get us the best guest and busting your ass here, and you're not doing a good enough job." See, but it's a sick society of instant gratification like McDonald's, thinking that, like, I'm the government and I'm supposed to give you your sugar tit. It isn't going to happen. Bob, let's come back and do a final segment and see if any of the callers have anything of any value to say, or it's all going to hell in a handbasket. That's all I can tell you, folks. Sometimes I dream about just packing it all up and quitting this radio show and seeing how you like that, punk. We'll be right back.
This is the end.
Fitting music.
Beautiful.
The end of the radio show, the end of the week. Be back this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central.
This is the end.
That caller had no business calling up like, "What are you doing not covering this thing? Oh, you're bad." But I have no business blowing up at it. I shouldn't even care. I'm a very childlike population. It's just, I do the best job I can, and I'm not even blowing up at that fella. I'm blowing up not at Tom in Oregon, but all those that tell me, do this, do that, you need to do more, you need to create this, you need to create that. I need you to do it, listeners. I need you to take action. I need you to get my films and support us financially so I can hire more people and do more. I need you to, order Fabled Enemies, available right now at Infowars.com, the new film, or Endgame, or any of the films. And I need your help spreading the word about the sites. Bob Chapman needs your help at theinternationalforecaster.com. Let's talk to Spike in Indiana. You're on the air with Bob Chapman. Go ahead, Spike.
Yeah, Alex. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say I've been a big fan for a while, and I appreciate all you do. I don't think these people that call up and do that to you understand that you can't see everything with two eyes, four eyes, six eyes, you know, however many people you got in your office. You can't cover it all. And I appreciate what you've done for me and waking me up, and I've been out spreading your videos and stuff. Thank you for turning me on to Mark Kornke. He's become a good friend of mine. I've been up to his house a number of times and visited with him, and I spread information from this show over to that show and put his archives on my website. But the question I have for you guys is, do you think this is all just to take our eye off of the Middle East? Because that's what I think.
I think it's all a part of that, but this is a big deal to do this with Russia. This is as big as the Middle East or bigger. Bob Chapman?
It's much, much bigger, because it's going to be widely encompassing, and it could lead to nuclear war. And, you know, they'll probably draw this thing out as long as possible without having nuclear war possible. And that means they can take the young people out of America and Europe as well and put them in uniform and train them and have them go off and kill people.
And have a new enemy again. And, oh, you don't like the government taking your freedom. It's to stop the Ruskies. We got to take your freedom. You're criticizing the government. You're a red. You don't like the new tax and the new regulation. You're a red. Oh, you like Ron Paul. You're a red.
God bless the Republic. Death to the New World Order. We the people shall prevail.
Absolutely.
The Empire is on the run. We are on the march.
Thank you, Spike. Appreciate your call. That's all this radio show has ever been, is a platform for all the other decent talk show hosts, all the other good people that are doing work. And I've had a lot of these people on and then been attacked later by them, and I still turn the other cheek. I mean, I really try to be a guy who's wise and good, and I blow up half the time, but I'm pretty wise when I'm calm at home doing research, and that's why we just love people like Bob Chapman, who are great folks. Get a free copy of his newsletter at theinternationalforecaster.com or subscribe right there. Bob, thanks for spending time with us and your great input.
Thank you very much, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you. Take care, my friend. Okay, that's it for this live transmission. I will be rebroadcasting the network 9 to 1 a.m. tonight. Don't forget, for everybody out there listening on different networks, different streams, different places, you can always find the show one place at InfoWars.com. The free podcast is also at InfoWars.com. I had Michelle Chasidovsky at the start of the show breaking down all the Russian situation in detail for the first hour. Absolutely key info. Then we covered Dr. Cordesi being attacked for 9/11 truth by the New York Times, O'Reilly, everybody else. And, of course, we had Jonathan Elenoff, We Are Change Colorado, about all sorts of weird terror threats in police state and FEMA camps in Denver, where I'm going to be covering it. God bless you all. There's one place to hear that retransmission right now. It's InfoWars.com at the streams right there at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. So we'll be right back after this quick break. But everybody's going to switch over to InfoWars.com. God bless.